I'm going to call to order the City Council meeting, Grover Beach, on January 21st, 2014. And we will start with a moment of silence, if everybody could stand. Thank you. And then we're going to have a flag salute, and that's being led by Dawn Judy. Is Dawn here? Oh, good. She's way back there. All righty. And Dawn is 10 years old. She's a fifth grade student at Grover Heights Elementary School, and she says that she loves math. So she would like to pursue a career being a doctor and helping people. Dawn enjoys living on the Central Coast. Oh, there she is, because she can see the pretty views in our area. She enjoys riding her bike and hanging out with her friend. And tonight, I believe that Susan Kesselring, her teacher is, her principal is here. And Mr. Gonzalez, her teacher. I know Mr. Gonzalez, too. And also her mom is here. Is that right? Okay, so feel free to take photos. And just so you know, all of this is streaming live on Channel 20, but you can watch it several times during the week and see it over and over again. So, but right now it's just us. So if you want to go ahead, Don, we'll go with you.
To allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do you want to come up here, Don? We have some things for you. And I think we've got some photos. So if you want to turn around, and everybody will kind of gather around here, and we'll get a photo.
Ooh, group photo.
See that one there? One more. Is my hands up? Okay.
Good job. I'm going to give you this as well. That's to help you with your homework. And you want to just go and shake everybody's hand along here.
I'm shaking your hand.
I love you. Thank you.
And he was my son's favorite teacher, too.
I didn't have him, but I'm glad he's your favorite teacher. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. You did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn and family. Order of the day. Are there any changes up here from the council?
No.
Any from staff? Nope. Okay. We will proceed as agendized. And our ceremonial calendar tonight, we have a few special people with us. We have some award winners, but we also have several parks and rec commissioners. And I think we also have a planning commission chair here. Sorry, Jeff.
Martin has a question.
Thank you. Sorry.
I think customarily motion to accept the agenda presented.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Would someone like to second that?
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Councilmember Lee and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. So now we'll go back to the ceremonial calendar. Oops, one more thing?
All in favor?
Oh, well, gee whiz, wake up. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good, I'm aye too. And that was unanimous. And that'll come later. We have an introduction after the ceremonial calendar. So we're going to do presentations for the 2013 Holiday of Lights Award winners. There's a business award to the Proud Pooch, a City Council award to the Garcia family, the Commissioner's award to the Lopez family, and the Mayor's award to the Sherdahl and Troutner families. And I believe that Nora O'Donnell is going to do all this for us. Yeah.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Nora. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good
evening, everyone. I think this is the wrong one.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Now?
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Good.
Not that you probably couldn't hear me if I just talked normally, but so I'm going to invite the mayor to come on around and help us hand out these wonderful awards. And I'd like to invite our Parks and Rec commissioners, our chair, Dee Santos, and our other commissioners, Debbie Johnston and Heidi Boatman. I don't think there's anyone else, right? That's it? So the Holiday of Lights event was initiated several years ago by the then Grover Beautiful Committee. The goal of the event is to encourage residents of Grover Beach to decorate their homes and businesses for the winter holidays, thereby beautifying the city. Nominations for the contest are accepted through the second week of December, and many people self-nominate their homes, but we also have a lot of people call in and nominate their neighbors and neighborhood businesses. Each Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commissioner, there's five of them, has a zone or area that they drive around and choose homes or businesses to nominate in that area. This year, there were 34 nominations, with overall winners in four categories. The commissioners volunteered their time and money to ensure the event was a success, including distributing the commemorative ornaments that were presented to all the participants. So for this year's awards, the mayor and our Parks and Rec commissioners, and Dee Santos, our chair, will hand out the awards, and I'll read the proclamations. So, you want to take the first one? So we had our business award, and these guys won it last year as well. I don't know if anyone from the Proud Pooch is here. Nope. Okay. It doesn't look like much in the daytime, but when the lights are on at night, it's so cute. So hopefully they'll do it again next year. For the City Council Award, most original use of animation and or craftsmanship, it goes to the Garcia family, who decorated their home at 600 Manhattan Avenue. And you guys can all come up if you want. I bet the youngest was really good at taking it down, huh?
When we went around touring that night, this was one of the most exciting things of this family. We had a lady with us that dressed as Mrs. Claus, and the little ones, when they seen her in the car, they were so excited and were just asking her all kinds of questions and telling her what they wanted and stuff. It was just an awesome thing for these kids. And I hope Santa arrived. Did he come? Yes? Wonderful. And this gentleman did a lot of work in his yard, and he's going to do a lot more.
I don't know if that was a challenge or not. if you can stand off to the side there. Okay, so next one up is the Lopez family, and theirs was for the Commissioner's Award for the best use of lights. They decorated their home at 1654 Seabright Avenue, and they also won that participated last year, or this past year, and we're already in January, so there were so many beautiful displays to look at again this year, and we hope that this inspires other people to do the same next year. Thank you.
And being the chair, we had a meeting, and we decided, and it's going to be coming up on our next couple of agendas, that we would like to award more of our citizens with awards, because it takes a lot of work, and there's different categories, and so we want to make sure the South, the East, the North, the West is all represented in a well form. So you're welcome to come to any of our Park and Rec meetings. We love company, and I've got a really great team this year. It's been wonderful. There's a couple of commissioners that are missing, but if any meeting you think's boring, not this one. Come see us.
If everyone can kind of group together, so you can get a good group shot.
Yeah,
going
that way.
I took
you out of the
down. Oh, thanks.
Well, I don't know. Too tall, but too tall for her.
I'm not five.
Beautiful.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Last year, I know it was really heavy on North Grover, so I'm really glad to see that we redressed this balance. And this year, we've got lots of people from South Grover winning the award, so we hope to see even more next year. Next on our agenda is public communications.
Madam Mayor.
But before that, yes, we have an introduction.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to be able to introduce to the council and the community this evening Chanel Hubbard. Chanel Hubbard is on my far right. She is the new human resources coordinator / assistant city clerk. And she's here tonight for the beginning and for the next hour and a half. She's shadowing Donna. Eventually, you will hopefully see her take over as city clerk and give Donna a little break once in a while. So anyway, we'll welcome her here. Chanel, thank you.
Welcome, Chanel. We're glad you're here. And also, I should mention that sitting in the front row, we have a council member from another city. We have a council member, Russell Johnson, who's here from Bakersfield. So thanks for joining us tonight. And this is public communications. And at this time, any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. And I have a couple here, and I'm not sure if these are general comment. There's one for the Convention Center, which is coming up, and then we have one for the CCA Exploration Advisory Committee, which I don't believe is on the agenda. So I'll call that person forward. But if anybody wants to speak, you don't have to sign a blue slip. If you'd like to come up during public comment and talk about anything that's not on the agenda, we're always delighted to have you join us. Did you want to say something? Okay, I've got someone standing, so I'm going to and I think that you're Eric, aren't you? So Eric's coming forward. I know what that's about. And then we'll talk about the other one next. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor and Council, my name is Eric Viem, member of leadership team for Slow Clean Energy. We were here several months ago to introduce you Community Choice Aggregation. And as you may recall, Community Choice, or CCA, creates a local energy district that sources power from competitive markets on behalf of its customers, providing choice and competition, local economic development, more clean energy, and competitive rates. We are here tonight to update you on CCA efforts and invite you to take a seat at the table for the SLO County-wide CCA Exploration Advisory Committee. To quickly update you on CCA efforts around the country and in California, first I want to start with the state of Illinois. In the state of Illinois, over 600 jurisdictions, or 80% of the population, have chosen to form CCAs for the benefits of their communities. Here in California, MCE Clean Energy in Marin County and in Richmond, they're in their third year. They're an $87 million in annual revenue, and they have currently $8 million cash in the bank from this program, and are providing rates that are competitive and oftentimes lower than the incumbent utility. Sonoma Clean Power, this is a very exciting project. They start delivering power in May of this year. They'll be providing energy that's cleaner than PG&E for approximately 3-4% less than what PG&E can offer. Just north of us, the Tri-County area, Monterey Bay, they currently have...
You certainly have that discretion. Mm-hmm. I think that when the item does come up, I would encourage whoever the speaker is to remain so she or he knows what...
Sure.
What's going to happen with the item, because
okay.
In order for it to be on the actual public record for the hearing for the item, it should be addressed at the time when that public hearing is open.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. So I just wanted to check in with Diane Maraki. Diane, we are not going to hear that item tonight, but we would like you to have the opportunity to speak, although you may want to wait until the next meeting, which would be on the 18th
yeah,
of February.
Yeah.
So would you like to wait until then, or did you want to speak during the actual item?
Well, some of them were just kind of questions, so if you'd be able to address them at the next meeting, that would be great.
Okay, great. That's good. All righty. But please stick around until we get to that item so you know what's going on. Thank you very much. And you wanted to come forward, too. Well, both of you. So I think the gentleman stood up first. So go ahead and come forward, and then anybody else who wants to speak is fine.
We're
done with the slips. Yeah.
Mayor, council members, I have to say, Mayor, in your first term, you've made more waves than the Japanese earthquake, I got to tell you. I was told by Chief Copsey that you would discuss the streets, which are an issue for most of us who live there. I noticed that the corner outside the outside the building has a nice new repair. I'd like to see more of those around town. But one of the things that's concerned me, I'm from L.A. County, and I noticed that we do have street sweepers that come through.
So are you going to talk about street sweepers but not the streets, because the streets are on later in the agenda?
I'm going to speak about street sweepers.
Okay, great.
And Mayor, could I encourage the gentleman to provide his name for the record?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
My name is Jeffrey Paul McMorrow. I live at 1782 Long Branch. I'm a retired attorney, again, and loving it. And I want to talk about my experiences down in L.A. County. It seems to me the best way to effectively clean the streets is to have limited parking on the days when that's to be done. It seems kind of productive to have cars on the curbside, making the machine have to go around it. If you were to limit parking, say, every other week, on alternate sides, say 4 hours a day, that way the machine can come through and do a much more effective job. Just a slight suggestion for the council to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, and I expect we'll hear from you during the streets section too.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Would you like to come forward? The lady in the front, did you want to say something on this?
I'm going to wait till
to the streets?
Convention.
Oh, the convention center. Okay.
That'll be much better. Right. Yeah.
Anybody else want to come forward during public comment? Sharon Brown. We need to give you a microphone so we can hear you.
Beginning on February 3rd, in case this on your trash can. Olive Grove. That day will be Monday. Mondays. So, like me, my garbage usually is picked up on Wednesday. Guess what? I'm going to have to take my garbage out Sunday night. But in case you missed that announcement, you don't want to miss your garbage. So, Olive Grove Beach on February 3rd.
So thank you for reminding us, and I believe that actually it's changing to Tuesday. So don't put your garbage out on Sunday night or your neighbors will be very unhappy. So it's changing to Tuesdays. And don't put it out when the street sweepers are coming. Is there anybody else who wanted to speak? Okay. I want to go back to the conference center item because we may not open the public hearing. We're not opening the public hearing desk. We're not opening it for people to come speak. So are you okay with waiting until the next meeting? Can you come back on February 18th? Okay. All right. Okay. I wanted you to have an opportunity to speak tonight if you can't come on February 18th. But if you can be there.
My name is Penny Smith. I live in this area, and I am deeply concerned, I mean, deeply concerned about water and the convention center. I mean, I've cut back everything I can possibly cut back. Any water goes into a bucket that I now...
And are not complete yet. We anticipate they will be complete within the coming couple of weeks. Therefore, we're recommending that the item be put over until February 18th. That is the reason that we did not list any other report in the packet, because the staff report is not complete, and thought it best that you receive the complete staff report at the time that the item's being considered, along with any communications that we may have received relative to the public hearing. So consequently, we're suggesting that the item be continued to a date specific. Essentially, you would open and close the public hearing and continue it to that date.
Okay.
City Attorney, any other advice you'd like to offer?
No, I think the City Manager covered it. Basically, opening the public hearing and by motion continuing the item to a date certain.
Okay. So we open public comment, close public comment, and then we get a motion and we do a voice vote. Is that right? Okay. So I'm going to open for public comment, and seeing as you've all said you can come back to the next date certain, I will be looking for, I'll close it, and I'll be looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we continue the public hearing to February 18th, 2014.
So we have a motion from Councilmember Lee. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Councilmember Marshall. We could have a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Unanimous for the Martians.
Mayor,
thank you.
Mayor, yes. If I may, for the record, for the public and anybody that's listening, this item will not be re-advertised by this action. The council continued the public hearing to February 18th at 6:30 or as soon as thereafter as it can be heard during the council meeting in these chambers.
So it won't be in the papers, but everybody can find the agenda and the staff report on the
online.
On the website.
Online or posted
or here.
As usual. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Moving now to our consent agenda. Was there anybody who wanted to remove anything from the consent agenda?
I had a couple of comments and just a question or two, but it doesn't have to be removed. So however we could do that would be fine.
Can we do that without removing it?
Well, I think if there's going to be questions to staff or the item is going to be discussed, then my recommendation would be that it's pulled from the agenda. If it's simply
okay.
A comment before the vote, then it probably does not need to be pulled.
Which item was it?
Item 5.
Okay.
Let's see. Actually, that's just mainly that's just comment, and I had a question on item 8.
Well, let's go ahead and pull it because this is important. It's the comprehensive annual financial report. So let's go ahead and schedule that after the rest of the regular business, and we could maybe take a motion if there's nothing else to be pulled. Did you have anything, Councilmember Nichols?
Are you going to pull just 5 or 5 and 8 both?
I thought it was just 5.
No, I had actually the questions were on 8.
Okay.
Not significant, but
let's pull them both, and
okay.
And so we could take a motion for those that remain. 3, 4, 6, and 7.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Second.
So we have a motion from Mayor Pro Tem Bright and a second from Council Member Nichols, and it looks like we need a roll call on this.
Yes.
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 Yes. So we've got unanimous on consent agenda items 3, 4, 6, and 7. We will hear items 5 and 8. After the items which have been previously scheduled on the regular business schedule. And that's what we're moving on to now, the regular business. And the first item business is appointment of members to a charter measure drafting committee. And City Manager Perrault, City Council members will review letters of interest, determine the composition of the committee, and consider making committee appointments. And I believe you're going to tag team it with a few other members as well.
No, actually,
no? Okay.
I'm going to do the appointment myself, but the next
okay.
item will be the tag team.
Tag teaming the next one.
Right.
Okay, great.
If I can begin, Madam Mayor, members of the council, as the council is well aware, in November 2012, the council did place an item on the ballot of November 2012. That if successful would have converted the general law city, the form of government we currently have, to a charter city. That measure failed to pass by just 4 votes. Consequently, an independent volunteer committee picked up the review of the charter measure in detail and made its report to the council during your last meeting. As part of that report, they recommended that the council move forward with the placement of a ballot measure to again review the charter in the coming election, and that we individually reach out to each of the committee members and see if they had an interest in participating further in the drafting process. The results are included in the staff report, and actually we received 4 letters or communications indicating an interest in serving on the committee, and we received an additional letter from Ms. Sharon Brown. the four letters from folks indicating their desire to possibly serving on the drafting committee included Councilmember Bill Nichols, Miriam Shaw, John LaFerriere, and Leland Stanford Simpson IV. Ms. Brown also submitted a letter, which is contained within your staff report, that offered several suggestions regarding drafting of the charter. And so that's been placed in your packet as well. The council really has a couple of alternatives to consider. The council could, as indicated, appoint the members to the drafting committee. That council should consider committee composition and actually time frame, because believe it or not, the time frame is already running a little short. As noted in my staff report, once the drafting committee has completed its work and it's returned to the council, there's about a 90-day process that needs to be gone through before it can be placed on a measure for November. That would include the conducting of public hearings. There's actually three public hearings required, and there's a very specific noticing period required in between each meeting. So the council needs to consider those items. In addition, the council may want to consider, rather than moving forward with the committee, the council could also consider simply remanding the item back to staff and have the city attorney and myself work on the drafting of the measure. The reason I outline this as an alternative, it was referenced actually in Mr. LaFerriere's letter, and also the recommendations by the committee were very specific, as you'll recall, and simply staff could take those recommendations and work from that to develop ultimately the document for your further consideration. There are other matters for the council to consider, those being the fact that you've got a full plate and you're going to be looking to make a decision at some later date regarding placement of an item on the ballot for streets. So that's could, in essence, take up a great deal of time. Another alternative for the council in that case would be to decide not to go forward at this time, but that's clearly an alternative you have. So essentially, staff is recommending that per your direction, you review the formation of the commission, should you wish to go in that direction. Again, you would have to determine what the number of that committee would be, and I would suggest coming up with a time frame in which to report back to council. That concludes my staff report, and myself and the city attorney are available in the event you have any questions.
Thank you. So just so folks out there know, I know some of you may want to make comments, and we'd love to hear from you. We will, the council will ask the staff any questions that we may have, and then we'll open it for public comment. And I'm thinking maybe when we open it for public comment, if you all are in agreement with this, that we would ask the folks who've sent letters to speak to us if they're here tonight. So do any of the council members have questions of staff?
Actually, my only question, I think, is about to be addressed by the fact that you're going to invite the people that brought letters for it. I know, obviously, Mr. Nichols, I know Ms. Shaw, I know Mr. LaFerriere, but I don't know Mr. Simpson.
No.
So I'm hoping he's here this evening. So, and obviously, I know Ms. Brown. So that was my question, is if Mr. Simpson was here this evening.
I thought that. Okay. There's
great.
Mr. Simpson.
I haven't had
great.
The opportunity to
coming.
Use your taxi service.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Just one question.
Yeah.
Bob, I see on item number 13 we're going to be talking about the staff's workload. Was the charter budgeted in the last? I mean, for staff, one of the options you gave us tonight was for staff to take it over. What's the possibility or the probability given the workload?
I think given the fact that, again, the recommendations of the committee are very specific, it would be doable within the time frame that we need to meet for placement on a November ballot.
Good.
That's the actual drop-dead date that the council will need to place the item on the ballot. So consequently, you would have to have the drafting completed, in my mind, by March in order to make all of that work.
Thank you. That's really helpful. All righty. I'm going to open this to public comment, and if those of you who said you'd like to participate would come forward and just tell us a little bit more about yourselves and why you'd like to participate, that would be really helpful, and anything else you want to share. And if there's anybody else out there who would like to speak on this item, we'd be delighted to hear from you. So we'll open to public comment.
Don't everybody come up at once.
Sharon's got a hand.
You come first, because we don't know you.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, my name is Leland Simpson, and I am a Grover Beach resident. I have three boys here. I don't know if you really want to know so much about me. As I own a public utility, and for over a decade, I have had a lot of contacts, a lot of first-hand experience in 30-day notices, or the urgency of papers that need to be filed. And I've been very cognizant over the last couple of years of the charter movement. However, I have kept my distance, and I think what I would bring to the table is that portion of us that haven't made up our minds yet. In my letter to city staff, I use this example. I believe the single most important aspect of the charter, especially Mr. Nichols, you're looking for is simplicity, something that we can all understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into that, and I would love it if you would consider me for this. I think it would be a huge opportunity that the time we can certainly work together on something simple and come together with a great document.
Thank you for coming forward. Did any of the council members have questions?
No.
Thank you. Well, stay there for just a second.
Just a moment. The letter that I have doesn't, all it says is consider you.
Yeah.
There isn't anything about anything other than that.
Well, what would you like to know?
Well, I mean, you said that your letter had said something about, didn't you say that your letter included simplicity and so on?
Yes, I believe it's two sentences with contact information.
That's all?
Yeah, that's pretty simple.
Oh, I see. Your letter was simple. Okay.
I didn't want to write a two-page letter about myself. The object here is the charter.
Okay.
And
I see.
The charter is the most important thing.
I get you now. I thought you had written something about the charter being very simple, but your letter is very simple.
Gotcha.
And don't go away yet, because I believe that Councilmember Lee had a question. Oh. No? Okay. Nobody else?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for stepping forward.
Thank you.
So who would like to come forward next?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council. Well, I think I won the award for strangest letter for wanting to be on the drafting commission. After serving on the prior charter committee, I feel I'm part of that recommendation that was made, and it seems to me that it was fairly complete, minus a few details that actually the council needs to fill in. So as part of that group, if for some reason you were unhappy with that recommendation, I would not choose me, because you've already gotten the recommendation that I participated in the group. If you feel that there's some issues and you really want citizens to deliver a finished product, I am happy to perform that function. Although with the times, the schedule laid out by the city manager, my hope, and I did make this in the letter, is that you would get staff on it to finish it up and then have the real process where we can all be participating together. I would like to continue to participate. I think I can do that as a member of the public out here, as well as everybody else can do that same thing too. So that would be my recommendation.
So let me try to clarify what you're saying. I'm not sure I've got it. So you're saying that you would prefer to see staff do it and then bring it back to all of us to discuss?
all of us, mm-hmm. the council, mm-hmm. and the citizens, and we can participate in that first workshop, and 21 days later, that second workshop, and get the ball rolling.
And but failing that, if we were to choose instead to go with a committee, you would be happy to sit on the committee also? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I'm part of Team Grover. All the committees I serve on, one more won't hurt. I'll do whatever is possible to advance this, even if it's a little slower method than I would do myself. But
you're an efficiency expert. Did any of the council members have questions of Mr. LaFerrier?
Yeah, just one question, John. What's your feeling about
introduction to who the associated builders and contractors are? I provided a PowerPoint to the council members, and this would be the second page in your PowerPoint. We are a workforce development organization. We train the workforce of tomorrow in the construction fields of and enable the, and ensure that we have a qualified, well-trained, and safe workforce. What is a city charter? And I think it's important to point out that charter cities are unique. Counties don't have a special protection, special districts, cemetery districts, fire districts. No other form of government but a charter city has a special protection and a special recognition in the California State Constitution. A charter is basically a constitution for your local community. The charter enables cities to avail themselves of the rights that are granted under the California State Constitution. This power over municipal affairs is what gives charter cities a greater level of local control. Charters do not need to list every power, but they do need to say that if you decide to become a charter city, that you are going to have jurisdiction over municipal affairs. Article 9, Section 5 of the California State Constitution is what gives charter cities this special protection. And it says charter cities are going to have jurisdiction over municipal affairs, and there's no state statute that can exceed that municipal affair. As you've gone through time, the courts have filled in the level of ambiguity that existed in the California Constitution and said, look, charter cities' rights are expanded because of that municipal affairs provision in the California State Constitution. And as you move forward, many cities are still looking at becoming charter cities. I would encourage you to still look at that and move forward in that way as well. The number one reason, many cities see the benefits of greater independence from Sacramento. You have the expanding rights of charter cities. A recent court decision in the city of Vista, as well as other court decisions that have occurred, some at the superior court level, have given charter cities a greater level of local control and independence from Sacramento. And cities want to be poised to capture those benefits because charter cities are unique. Charter cities are the only ones that have that special protection under state law. I would encourage you that a city charter puts Grover Beach first and Sacramento last. Provisions that put your community first can be critical to the success of a charter. A charter allows the use of volunteerism in your local community. A charter enables your city greater flexibility in public-private partnerships. It enables you to create a stricter level of transparency than required by state law if your city so chooses. And a charter allows for greater independence from Sacramento. With that, if you have any questions for me, my contact information is provided in what I've supplied, and I encourage Grover Beach to move forward. And if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Well, stay there for a moment. Does anybody from the council have questions?
Sure, just one quick one. I saw that you're a council member from Bakersfield as well.
Yes, that's what I do to serve my community.
Excellent, thank you. Is Bakersfield a charter city?
Yes, we are.
You are. How long have you been a charter city?
Oh, gosh.
A long time.
Yeah. The charter is multiple pages since the 60s, at least. Mm-hmm.
Good. And you like it, obviously.
I think the level of independence from Sacramento realizes many, many benefits for a community. I've seen it firsthand. And I think that you'll see as charters, you get into city charters, there's a greater level of flexibility. But as state government continues to overreach, continues to try to insert itself into the affairs of local government, you will see that charter cities have this level of flexibility that will become up again and again in the future. And I think you're only seeing more cities becoming charter cities. You never see a city revert from a charter city to a general law city. I think we have 121 charter cities now, and I'm working with four cities that are interested in becoming charter cities, just within the five-county area I cover for the Associated Builders and Contractors.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Don't go away yet. I had one question, and you probably weren't born then, but you said that Bakersfield was made a charter city in the 60s. Do you know any of the history as to what made them take that action at that time?
No, I think it may have even been before that. I really don't know the history, but it definitely has been a form of government that served that community well.
Thank you very much.
I have one more question. I apologize. What was the, or can you give a couple of examples of state-mandated, unfunded state mandates that you've been able to deflect as a result of being a charter city?
I think the number one thing that charter cities, that entice folks to charter cities at this point, is the ability to be able to use volunteers in your community. Mm-hmm. So if you look at, you have a Boy Scout troop that may want to come in and install benches in your local park, you have a contractor that may want to come in and upgrade a solution. And that's the beauty of a charter, is that once you have your charter and your framework, and I loved how the gentleman referred to it as keep it simple, that's really the best way to keep a charter, because then you can enumerate those powers upon the city by simply passing an ordinance, or in some cases just doing a resolution which gives council direction to the city.
Thank you very much for coming over. Was there anybody? Ms. Shaw, yes. You've been patient. And thank you for your service so far.
Hello. I'm Miriam Shaw. I sat on the committee regarding the charter for the past few months, and I would be willing to sit on a drafting committee. I was a lawyer in my former life, so I've drafted documents and am familiar with the type of work that's needed. Also, back in law school, I took an administrative law class and a legislation class, so I feel I'm qualified to help with the drafting. That being said, I'm here to help, but I'm also apt to agree with Mr. LaFiere, especially after I was reading through the report, that each of our further meetings, the fiscal impact of each of our further meetings being $500 to $800, we may be going, if our goal is simplification, we may be going in the wrong direction to go to another committee for further drafting. It's just been my experience with drafting that things never seem to get simpler the more people that have their hands on them. They tend to broaden instead of point into the direction that they need to be. So I'm here to help, but I would by no means be offended if I was not selected to help. It's up to you.
Thank you. Does anybody have questions of Ms. Shaw?
No, just thank you for your comments. I appreciate those. That helps.
Anybody else would like to come forward this evening and talk about this matter? Feel free, and then Sharon Brown after that, so we'll make sure you have the mic, Sharon, when you get started. Come on forward.
Paul McMorrow, 1782 Long Branch. I think Councilmember Marshall raised an important point. How soon should this be done? I think we've all heard the benefits arguments before, and certainly not as well put it as tonight, but I think the people did speak in 2012 at the election. I think it's really going to be different this time. Maybe people don't want it. I don't know. I think we had a lot of information before, and people had an opportunity to digest that. And unless it's a really different idea, maybe it'll go down for defeat again. I don't know. Just a reflection of mine.
Thank you. And Ms. Brown? Oh, and there's someone else over here. You wanted to speak too, didn't you? No? Okay.
I just needed clarification. I'm sort of confused. Let's see. I can't read my notes now. I really need to clarification on what the task is going to be for this committee. They're leaving the 2012 charter proposal intact, and they will only be addressing the issues of self-determination that the Citizens Committee came up with report?
We'll talk about that. That, I think, will form part of our deliberation. So if you let us have your questions, then we'll address those.
Okay. That's one I needed clarifying on. With the time frame in March, boy, that doesn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room, does it? Who will be doing the actual writing? The language. What's going to show on the ballot and when? And what part can the public play in that? And where does council come into that process? So those are some of my questions. Oh, and one other thing. Three public hearings. Once council has consensus or has agreed to certain things, it seems that those things are kind of, they're still on the table, but they're put aside. And so when the public comes the next time, they're sort of discouraged from bringing those back. So I'm wondering how the public is going to have their say as to, and I think that's an important element, because it's the public that's going to be voting. Those, you know.
Doesn't anything ever get removed? So that's, and also another good point that was brought up. If we just voted on this, and this has been my, I've noticed this with voters. If something's been voted on and it's been decided, people don't really like voting on it again. They say, it's been decided, why are we wasting time and money doing this over and over again? So it's something to think about for the council. Thank you.
Thanks for your input. And there was someone else who wanted to... Oh, anybody else before we have a... please come forward.
Mary Morgan, 1759 Long Branch in Grover. I was going to talk about the streets because I have to buy some four new tires that are very expensive, and I go over this rough road all the time, but that's not what we're talking about now. I lived before 2000 back in Missouri, and there was a scandal because they built this beautiful Crown Center Hotel in Kansas City. I visited my sister there, and we were sitting in the lobby looking up. Gorgeous. The skyway that you read about that collapsed. You know, 1 month later, we would have all been killed. I mean, it was gorgeous. What was wrong with it? Well, they were able, through nepotism, to get around all the architectural specifications and engineering specifications. Nepotism was rampant. And so, you know, they saved a lot of money. They have these unskilled volunteers. Boy, we can really save money. And so all the theaters in Branson, with the music and the stomping of their feet when they're dancing up the proms that came into the hotel, they're all very vulnerable to collapsing because they were able to save money that way. But it wasn't very good. So basically, that's what I had to put my 2 cents in.
Thank you. Anybody else before we... Thanks for coming, Mr. Hardy.
Good evening. Thank you. Jack Hardy, I live at 250 Estuary Way here in Grover Beach. I'd just like to say that I appreciate you actually pursuing this and putting a committee together. I sincerely believe that most of our residents here in Grover Beach didn't really understand what a charter city is all about. And I also don't think a lot of our citizens here in Grover Beach understand how a city gets its money. We don't have new car dealerships. We don't have Walmart. We don't have Kmart to generate the kinds of funds that we can afford to pay some of these outlandish wages that they end up paying. And we're not talking about lowering building standards. We're not talking about lowering standards. We're talking about putting our local city government in a place where we can afford to do things for our city. We don't have the kinds of revenue streams that some of our neighbors here in the Five Cities has.
So I appreciate, as a citizen here, that you're looking out for my tax dollars and for the place that I live. So keep up the fight, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else before we go to round two? Okay. You get a second shot at it. It's because we've never seen you before.
Thank you. Okay, Leland Simpson. The difference between having city staff write the charter and citizens write the charter is, how are you going to sell it? If we lost by four votes last time, four votes. I know four people that are so conspiratorial-minded that if they saw a document written by, no offense, city staff, but if people see stuff from the city and it needs to originate from the citizenry, and that's, I'm so supportive of the charter movement. This charter has to succeed, and strategically, if it comes from a committee of citizens, it's much more likely to be accepted and propagated out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's helpful input. Anybody else before we close public comment? Okay, I'm going to close public comment. We'll bring it back to the council. And there are a few things that we've talked about considering. There's also some questions and concerns that we should address, I think, that came forward this evening. So one of them is considering size, and, well, whether we're going to have a citizens committee or whether we're going to have a city council draft it. If we do have a committee, size and composition, and in any event, we do have to come back for three public hearings. And also if we have any other specific instructions, including time frame and anything else that we wanted to add to that. So I'm thinking that maybe we should try to address some of the questions first that arose, because I think it would be helpful to
we'll return to you for further deliberation. And then at the end, one more public hearing for a final decision. During each one of these, you have the ability to continue to shape and change the document. So that's where public participation, that's how the interaction between the public and you will take place with regard to your decision-making process. And as far as public participation in the committee, I'll leave that in your hands, and that's a decision that that you will make on how you wish to do that. But I think that responds to the questions that were asked by Ms. Brown.
Thank you. Did you have any comments? No. So basically what we're saying is, regardless who drafts it, the public gets three shots at it, and during any of those it can be changed right up to the very last one, including withdrawing it altogether. So that gives, because it's such an incredibly important document, it shapes our future, it allows a lot more comment, and that's why it has to be voted on at a general election also, because it's a very important document. Okay, and let's see. There was also a question. If it's such a simple document, why does Bakersfield have so many pages in it? And I'm wondering if Bakersfield would like to respond to that. I know you've worked on charters with other cities. Is there some feedback on that that might be helpful?
Your city attorney can probably provide some additional background on this, but charter cities have long been in existence in the California State Constitution since California was founded. As a result, your neighbor to the north, the city of San Luis Obispo, has a very long charter. And charters, over time, typically, once you put something in it, it's very hard to take it out, because it takes the vote of the people to actually modify the charter. However, that being said, the trend is that new cities come up and they look at becoming charters. They tend to simplify the document, knowing that they want to have the flexibility, the independence from Sacramento, the ability to put Grover Beach first as opposed to Sacramento first, and that ability to put Grover Beach first enables you to have that flexibility that the charter document, just by having a charter, enables you to do so. So you've seen, just to recap, a trend that as cities come into existence as charter cities, they start with a simple document. Over time, your document will get longer. It's just a nature of having a charter. But the reality is that the old model of having a very lengthy charter and putting all your powers in it is out. The new trend is cities becoming charters and keeping them simple and flexible.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Johnson, so you're saying that maybe as the laws change, then possibly your charter will change?
In some cases, perhaps. It just depends. Each charter is different. Each community has different reasons why they want to become a charter city.
Or maybe you're so then your charter can grow along with however maybe your community grows or your needs may change and so on.
Correct. Say for example, your city decides, you know what, we decide that we want to have an audit every year of the city's finances. As a general law city, there's nothing that mandates that you guys have an annual audit. I'm working with the city now that actually put in language that they would have an annual audit of their city. And in addition, they also said that after, I think, either 3 or 4 years, that audit firm would be sent back out for RFP and try to rotate at least for 1 year to another audit firm. Those are things that different communities say, you know what, we want to ensure that we have that additional protection for the taxpayers. We want to ensure that we have that greater flexibility from Sacramento. We want to ensure that we put Grover Beach first.
So it could be like a living document, actually.
No, because it needs to be modified by the voters.
Well, I mean, exactly.
Ballot.
But your citizens can determine how that document grows and changes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming forward again. All right. I think we've handled questions there. Most of the questions that were addressed. A few more that I want to talk about a little bit amongst us when we come up with who's actually doing the language. But I'm thinking that in any event, if we have something that comes forward from a committee, it would still have to be run through the city attorney because we have to make sure that it's city kosher, attorney kosher. So wondering where we can start on this. Do folks have things they particularly want to discuss or viewpoints on it? Councilmember Nichols?
Yeah, I'd like to go ahead and get started on it. First of all, I found it a pleasure to serve on the committee with the other committee members, and I think they did an outstanding job, and I, again, want to compliment them on the work that they did. We have over 3 pages of review and recommendations that they have submitted, and we then have the public hearings to refine it, and then we put it on the November ballot. And I think if we go back to another committee, we're wasting our time, we're wasting the community's time. I think we need to move forward with this with referral to staff as recommended in the report to draft a charter and bring it back to this council and have public hearings.
Okay. What does the rest of the council think on that?
Well, I agree, because I know that time is short. Though something that Mr. Simpson said really resonates with me about it coming from the citizens. However, really, most of it would have come from the citizens. I mean, based on it coming from the original committee. And I guess we would have the public meetings, but that just really resonates with me. You know that it comes from the citizens, and so it would probably be much more accepted from it. Anyway, so I think I can go either way, but I guess I'll just listen to what everyone else has to say.
Thank you. What's everyone else have to say?
Oh, I love saying stuff. Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. Councilmember Bright brought up coming from the citizens, but it seems like it already did.
Yeah.
It went through a committee of citizens, although Mr. Councilmember Nichols was on it, so that kind of polluted it a tad. But if you take that aside, that was in jest. The only thing that really I like the idea of staff doing it, moving forward with it, and then we've got the recommendations from the committee. Let's give that to staff, let them go with it, and then they will be bringing it back for at least, 3 hearings, and 2 of them are going to be very substantial. 1 extremely substantial, the second one cleaning up that. And so I think there'll be lots of input. My concern was from one of the members tonight who said, boy, you're coming back really fast with this. And that might be a turnoff to a lot of people. We just voted on this a year ago and it failed. Granted, it failed by a small margin. So to circumvent that perception, it might be good. Well, I would stress that we really need to have public outreach, a strong public outreach, if we're going to bring this thing back in November, telling people why we're bringing it back in November, and really engaging the public. And I'm sure that's what we're going to do anyway, but more so, I don't know how to do that. But that would be my only recommendation. Well, I would move that for Mr. Nichols' recommendation, that of Mr. LaFerriere and Ms. Shaw, to let's save the money. Let's give this to staff. Staff said they can do it. But let's get a real solid public outreach program going at the same time.
Mayor, may I comment?
Mm-hmm.
I do want to comment that when we put this on the ballot in the, was it the 2012 election? I was on the committee that worked on it at that time. And we really got a late start. And we really had a limited outreach. And it was very interesting because I can tell you, time after time, I was out knocking on doors. And I love to be able to have an account, but I don't have, of the number of people that I knock on the door. They come to the door, I introduce myself, and say, I want to talk to you about Grover Beach becoming a charter city. And they look at me and say, well, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, do you know what we are today? What do you mean? But well, we're a general law city. What's a general law city? I never heard of any such thing. Really, and this is not because people are ignorant. Mm-hmm. It's something that nobody really talks about ever until it comes down to something like this. So I agree with you. We need an outreach program, and that's one of the reasons we want to get this thing going as fast as we can now so that we have that time to do that public outreach. I honestly believe the only reason we lost by 4 votes at the last election was because people did not understand what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. When they looked at that ballot measure and said, do you want to become a charter city? They looked at it and said, what the heck is this? They didn't say what the heck, but but it was amazing to me how limited the knowledge of the public is on general law versus charter city. So, yes, we need that public outreach, and that's what we intend to do, and that's why we'd like to get that charter drafted now and get moving on it.
Thank you, Bob.
Councilmember Lee?
And just support what the comments have said up here from Councilmember Nichols and Bright and Marshall, and then also echo the comments from Ms. Shaw's letter with regards to basically the 10 points coming forward and really making that part of a public outreach and going towards the economics.
Ism of having the city attorney draft the initial draft is that then the way the public comes back and responds to us is by just coming to meetings and giving us various points in the meetings. And then the council makes that decision. It's not the public who really makes that decision in that case. We have to make a decision based on what the public come back with. And I don't feel that their involvement is as hands-on in that way. And so I agree with the concept of efficiencies, and I'm wondering if it might be a compromise to say, Ms. Shaw, you know what you're doing here. You've got a lot of great ideas. Why don't you do an initial draft and have your committee then work with you on that draft? That might speed up that process. Now, that, again, would be something that we'd need to agree on, but that might be an approach. But from my point of view, I want the whole community involved, and I think that the whole community is better involved if the whole community writes it. Because if we go out from up here and talk to people, it's one thing, and we did it elected to do that. But if the taxi driver talks to the people in his taxi in Grover Beach, that's a really grassroots thing, and I think you have better input for us than we may generate ourselves from up here. So I'm in favor of spending another couple $1,000s and taking the time and having the public weigh in, and then having them weigh in again another 3 times per the process that we have to use anyway. So that would be my take on it. It sounded like you had some feedback on that.
Yeah, as you were mentioning that, it's a thought popped into my brain, and staff may really hate me for this, but realizing that we have three required public hearings, that doesn't necessitate or doesn't mean that one of them couldn't be a public workshop where the community comes in and helps to draft the language. So effectively, staff and the community are working together, and we still have that time frame that that we need to meet. I don't know if that goes along mm-hmm. kind of in keeping with where you were going, and
I
yet
think
still
that's
gets
a
us
fabulous
to the
idea.
to the end line.
If that's possible, where we could have the first meeting, or where maybe it's even a committee, if we have a committee, and put that together, and where we start with the language. And then put it together, and then the next workshops would be where it's the regular public workshop after that. I mean, the public meeting after that. Does that make sense?
Could we do it that way?
You certainly have the ability to have as many meetings involving the public
as
you wish.
We don't want any more than we have.
But of the three.
We don't have time for that, though.
Right. The minimum required under the law is what we laid out a few minutes ago. I think if it is your desire to have a additional workshop 2 weeks before the first scheduled meeting where you basically would create the document, which would then become the document that comes to you in the first meeting, I think that would be your decision. You could certainly do that. Under
I think
law.
The question was, could those three be workshops as opposed to...
I think what is being contemplated that draft, the actual document, is introduced during those three meetings, and you work on it. So that's why my recommendation, if that's the direction that the council wishes to proceed, is that you have a separate meeting in which you arrive at a draft document. Recognizing that once it's drafted by multiple participation of individuals from the public, it's going to have to be reworked by staff in order for it to be compliant with the laws that are applicable. Mm-hmm. And we would present you with probably both drafts and explain to you why the changes were made, or that we recommend be made. But you know, your ability to have other meetings pertaining to this are certainly exists. It would be my recommendation that for the three meetings that are mandated under the government code, a ready draft for public review is there from the first meeting.
So if we have a committee working on it, then the committee's meetings will also be public, because it will be a Brown Act committee, so they'll be meeting in public. So the committee, however meetings they would need to have, would all be open to the public to also...
That would be your choice, mm-hmm. because the committee would be an ad hoc committee formulated okay. for a single purpose for a limited period of time, and technically speaking, you have an option of making it a Brown Act committee or not.
I believe at our last council meeting it was unanimous that it should be, but we can change our opinion.
If I actually wasn't thinking we would have another committee. Basically where I think I was going with that is that staff would take the comments from the existing committee, develop a draft,
yeah.
and then have effectively one more public hearing as a workshop, so to allow anybody to come forward and really have buy-in into that. So it would be a fourth public hearing. So I wasn't advocating a separate committee. It would be effectively one more public hearing with the draft. It would almost be a workshop. So I see our city manager looking into space.
Well, no, I'm just
cogitating.
Madam Mayor, if you will, in terms of timing, I was just trying to see how that additional workshop might fit in. And the only issue you would have with that, in order for all of this to work, is that you'd probably have to have that workshop meeting, my guess is in early March, no later than early March.
Not much.
Certainly
in March.
Because my thinking is you would come out of that workshop And then you would have to do the, you would have to have the public hearing with a 21-day notice after you've completed the draft.
It's a 90 days.
So in order for that all to work and get the process done by July, you'd need to have that workshop in early March.
So my only question is, we went out to the public and we said we'd like to do a drafting committee, and we got some applications, and a couple of, one applicant said strongly he had an opinion that we should just bring it back to staff to do. Another said that she may be leaning that way and she would support that. Another said, I want the people to do it. And I can't remember what the fourth said. Oh, the fourth said, give it to staff. So I guess, why did we bother going out to the public if now we're going to bring it back? Maybe we've, having reviewed it based on the opinions of the public, maybe we've changed our minds. But I do have to ask that question. We did go out and say, we want you to help us. And
there were people from the public that appeared at every single committee meeting that we had. Every single person that attended those meetings was asked for their input. And they gave it at every single meeting.
Well, what I'm referring to is the fact that we as a council agreed last time that we would go out to the public and ask for applicants to sit on a drafting committee.
Yeah.
So now we're saying, well,
now we're saying we've already got the work done, so why do we need to create another committee?
So we're
have the public hearings and the public can appear and make their recommendations and suggestions. We're not shutting them out. We're bringing them forward. We're making them participate. But we've already had the public participate in what the committee accomplished. So now we've got their inputs, we've got the committee's input, we put together a draft, and then we go back to the public with more hearings.
Did you want to say something?
Yeah, and actually, you know, really the committee is going to be basically the same people except for one other. I mean, where would the new ideas come from?
Well, I think the idea was that they would draft it.
Right, and but pretty much we have their information in their suggestions, right? Their from their report, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking. I'm just concerned about the time, very much so. Now that I'm thinking about that, I mean, we've the two that have agreed, the two that were on the committee, actually the three that were on the committee have agreed to be on this next committee, and then we have Mr. Simpson. So I would be in support of us going forward with the drafting by staff, and then having the public hearings. It'd be great if we could get a workshop in there, if possible. That would be swell, I think. But if that's not possible, then I would.
Madam Mayor, if I can, mm-hmm. I do think that's possible, even with the time frame we have. If it is the council's choice to proceed with the specific recommendations that the committee had made, I think that we could develop a draft and then properly advertise that the workshop was being held to review that draft and take additional input in a workshop setting that would allow for greater public participation, and then ultimately still be able to meet the time frame necessary to get this on the agenda in July.
Drafting that you might like to see go forward, that you wanted to comment for that? If we're going to direct staff to do that?
I think if we direct staff to proceed with the recommendations from the committee and let that come back to the council, then we mm-hmm. have an opportunity to take a look at it, review it, talk about it, and make any suggestions or changes we want to make at that time.
Yeah.
I think it would be premature to start making suggestions now.
All right.
Especially if we're having a workshop.
Right. Okay.
Which I agree with. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think that would be mm-hmm. a good time for us to then take a look at where we are and...
Mm-hmm.
direct staff to start.
All right, sounds like we have consensus. Is this a vote or a consent? This looks like it's just give direction to staff.
You know, actually, I would appreciate a motion just to make sure that it's clear. Move that the city be direct, that the staff be directed to continue with the drafting of the document, and that a workshop be held in early March to kick off the review process.
So moved.
Second. Okay, so we have a motion by Councilmember Nichols, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Just have one comment. In if March is too late, then the timing is as appropriate.
You'll give the flexibility to,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we may need to do it sooner, in which case. Okay.
And another amendment is to try and get this out there, the workshop information out as soon as possible. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Congleton had mentioned again like he did tonight.
Yes, that'd be great.
Right, okay.
That is great. It was great.
Yeah, it's nice when that gets out there like that. All right, so we can do this on a voice vote?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No one opposed? In that case, it's unanimous. And
Madam Mayor,
yes.
Before we proceed to the next item, mm-hmm. can I request a five-minute break?
Sure. It's 8:01. Let's come back at 8:06.
Oh. Wow.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright is making her way back, so I'm going to call us back into order. It's 8:09, and we are moving to agenda item. Gosh, should have looked before I called us back.
Ten.
Agenda item 10, and that's the street reconstruction long-term strategies. City. This is the one that's being tag team.
Right.
City Manager Peralt and Public Works Director City Engineer Ray. And the City Council will receive a report and recommendations regarding the implementation of a long-term strategy to improve local street conditions. We'll follow the same process here. We'll receive our report, the Council will ask questions, and then we'll open it to the public to come back, and we'll deliberate after that. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, members of the Council, as the Council will recall, in December we held a workshop meeting at which time the Council explored a lot of ideas about how to take on the long-term strategy for the repair of the streets. One of the things that was recognized in the discussion and with the presentation by staff is that this is an issue that has plagued the city for literally decades. Part of it, just as a matter of review, has to do with the fact that the city was laid out in the 1800s with exceptionally long streets and wide streets, so that ultimately when the city was incorporated, we had nearly 44 linear miles of streets and roughly 9.5 a million square feet of asphalt to maintain. And if you go back and you look at the history notes that there that would give ultimately the voters the ability to make the decision on what kind of improvements and at what cost could we undertake. ultimately, at the end of that workshop session, the council asked that staff do some additional work, and that's what you have before you tonight, is the result of that additional work. Essentially, you wanted to take a look at a couple of the financing options, one of which included the general obligation bond issue. Another was the formation of assessment districts. The council also wanted to take a look at a more depth in detail, get more information, I should say, on what the pavement management system is and how it should be updated. And we wanted to bring you information regarding polling. All of these things need to be considered if the council is going to place this matter on the ballot potentially in November. By way of, I'll cover the initial discussion regarding the general obligations in assessment district, and then I'll turn it over to Director Ray, who will talk about the pavement management system, and then I'll discuss the recommendations regarding polling following that. As noted, staff is recommending that the general obligation bond is at this point the preferred option for financing street repairs. It is important to note that this would require a vote of approval by the voters, and that essentially that requirement is for a two-thirds majority. The November 2014 ballot could be a target in which to place this item on for bringing this measure to the voters. The bond issue itself, as we discussed and is as outlined in the attachments, would be sized to finance potentially the entire amount of repairs that are a rehabilitation that's going to be necessary. We could issue those bonds beginning in 2014-2015 in $5 million increments until we reach the total bonding capacity. And actually, that's what the voters would be approving, would be the total bonding capacity. You don't need to issue those bonds all at once. They could be sequenced over a number of years. The bonds would be paid for by an increase in the property taxes that would be based on $100 of assessed value. That's how you would essentially calculate what the how the bond issue would be paid for. And ultimately, we'd be looking at undertaking a program that could take years to complete. The reason staff is recommending this proposal is because it's probably the most straightforward form of municipal financing. The costs of issuance are left at a minimum. There's no need to develop a reserve fund with this particular financing. And it, as I've said, the bonds could be issued in sequential amounts. And by doing that, there's the opportunity to keep the impact down to the individual property owner and scaled out over a number of years. Assessment district was another approach that had been discussed. The issue with the assessment district is that more than likely you couldn't or wouldn't want to put the entire city in an assessment district. You'd probably have to break that out into multiple pieces. At a minimum, that would probably be at least four assessment districts. The problem is that you end up having to do a engineer's report, and that engineer's report has to determine the actual specific benefit to each particular parcel that is resulting from the improvements that are going to be done within the district. And the other issue that makes it somewhat troublesome is that There are two types of benefit. There's what is termed a special benefit. That's usually what can be paid for by an assessment district. However, the general benefit has to be paid still by the city in its entirety. And obviously, as pointed out in the attachments, there are still some other financing mechanisms that are available, although each of them seem to be less desirable than the preferred option. With that, I'm going to conclude this part of my remarks and then ask Mr. Ray to talk about the pavement management system. And then I will wind up with the polling, and then we'll take individual questions from council.
Okay, thank you, City Manager Peralt. So at the December workshop, we talked about a number of street pavement details, primarily how much might it cost to repair all the city streets, you know, what kind of condition are they in generally, what kind of funding sources are available. We talked a little bit about grant options and, you know, federal and state funding. And I think, you know, as the conclusion we reached out of that meeting, and I think what staff is telling you is that, you know, without coming up with a significant source of local funding, we're probably not going to get ahead of this street repair problem. The cost is just too great, and the conditions of the street to overcome the existing conditions of the street. It's such a significant amount of funding to get over the hump, if you will, to where the streets are in good enough condition to just maintain, that we really can't do it with our existing funding. We had some numbers that we presented in December. We talked about between $35 and $40 million would be the estimated cost based on the existing pavement management system to repair all the streets. Now you have to understand that the existing pavement management system is pretty much outdated at this point. We're due for an update, if not last year, you know, already. We should be updating the existing pavement management system this year. And then you need to have some understanding of what is that pavement management system that we have. The system that we have in place right now is a basically a planning level tool. It's a system-wide, and when I say system-wide, that means all the streets in the city are input in the system. It's based on a statistical sampling of the condition of a number of streets. That sampling was done several years before I started. I'm going to say around 2006 or 7. And the initial sampling, in my opinion, was somewhat flawed. But then there was an update done to that. I believe actually two subsequent updates done to the system to try to bring some better data into it. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the pavement management system you have now and the data that you have in that system now are both a overall planning tool, and they look at street maintenance from all the options available, everything from, you know, some streets need a slurry seal, some streets need some minor repairs and some crack sealing and some patchwork, some streets need all, you know, the range runs to all the way to some streets need full dig out and replacement all the way down to the base material. So estimates from around 2007-2008 period are these $35 to $40 million for a full range of options that would essentially provide you a updated city street network snapshot, if you will. Well, now we're getting very specific. We're talking about going out to the voters with a bond measure or perhaps a assessment district. And there's going to be a lot of questions. I mean, I know if I was a voter in the city, I'd be asking, you know, what streets, what's going to be done on those streets, exactly how much it's going to cost, how much confidence do you have in those cost estimates, are we really going to be able to repair all the streets for $35 or $40 million? My recommendation is that we update the pavement management system and that we do it targeted toward the answer we're trying to achieve. And in this case, it's a number of different answers. When Mr. Pesci was here previously, he presented to you really one bond option, you know, $5 million over every 3 years or so over about 20 years to come up with $35 million, for example. There's a lot of other options that could certainly be considered. And that kind of information you might get out of a poll from the local voters. I think we need to be prepared to answer questions like, what if we did $7 million every 3 years? And
What if we didn't spend 35? What if we only spent 25 million? What if the actual cost is 50 million? And what streets might we do a little differently than we would if we were doing the full range of options? For example, remember that a general obligation bond, it requires that you have a capital improvement. And that means that the streets have to be basically reconstructed or considered to be in a new capital condition. It does allow you to blend that a little bit. You can do some repairs, and it comes out to be there's a percentage rate, and I'll have to rely on the city manager for that information, but there was some percentage rate that said basically if something over 70% was actually new capital, if it ends up costing the full 70, you know, we'd need to do approximately 40,000 in additional funding for this. So assuming council decided to go ahead with our recommendation to update the pavement management system, we would come back at the time of award of a consultant agreement with also a request for allocation of additional funding. So that's essentially the main information I wanted to share this evening. You will note also in your staff report there's some information about narrowing the streets and about possibly acquiring a patch truck. And all, you know, these are both interesting topics that I think need to be discussed at some future date in reference to how do we repair the streets and how do we maintain the ones we have currently. Staff is pursuing both of those and looking at ideas. I have scheduled a couple meetings with adjacent or cities in our community to look at their patch truck operations, see what they have, and get information on costs on those. So we'll pursue that, I think, in parallel with this effort. But I think tonight we need to focus on, you know, can we get additional funding, and are we going to be able to move forward with a detailed analysis of the streets. So that concludes my comments. I'll return it to the city manager as well.
Yes, and to continue with the next important component, we really think is the polling component. Obviously, by the time that we've put this information together and you have a recommendation that you're going to want to send to the voters, you're going to want to know to what degree that that option or that solution is going to be successful. And a two-thirds vote in order to approve a general obligation bond issue where all of the dollars being raised is going to the streets, that's a pretty hefty hill to climb. And so you're going to want to make sure that, you know, there's public support to be able to carry that through. Consequently, we're recommending that the council authorize staff, it's in conjunction with the work that actually Mr. Ray will be doing, so that to proceed with the retention of a polling consultant, so that once Mr. Ray's information is available or the pavement management update is completed, we'll be able to take that information and fashion it into a number of questions that will be able to be presented to the voters in terms of total amount of bonding that they could support for a certain increase in the taxes and what that will actually mean. The other thing that we would be testing is for general attitudes about the city. We need to know if there are any issues that may be out there that we need to be alerted to in terms of potentially failing with this particular approach. Other things we need to look at is exactly, although we're targeting November, is November really the best time to proceed with this kind of measure? Can it do better in June, on a June election? I will mention that it is too late to think about June for this year. November would be the very earliest that we could put all of this together. I think a polling consultant would be important to give you an indicator as to what kind of a package will ultimately work for the city. Mm-hmm. Once that's completed, you know, there is going to be a need for public information in exchange and getting the information out there in an education program that will basically have to be an interchange between city and the voters in terms of making sure that everybody has the correct information. As you'll see in the report, the estimate for a polling consultant is somewhere between $9,000 and $12,000. That's ultimately dependent upon the number of questions that you want to ask and the size of the poll itself. It may, in fact, end up being slightly more than that. I will mention that there are no funds budgeted for this at this time, largely because when we put the budget together, we hadn't progressed with this discussion to this point. If the council wishes us to proceed with the retention of a polling consultant, we would bring the budget modification to you along with the mid-year report, which will be coming to you in mid-February. So that will training the polling professional. I would say that at a minimum, the pavement management system, regardless of whether or not you decide to take on this issue at this point, at a minimum, you should be updating that so that we have the most recent critical information available to us and to you. That concludes my report, or staff's report, I'll say, and Greg, myself, the city attorney, are available for any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the council?
Yeah. When we get to the polling, if we get that far, I assume we will. When we get there, are we going to have a relatively accurate figure on what this is going to cost the property owner? And is that not based on the 100,000 valuation per 100,000?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and we will be able to identify, as Mr. Gray said, different packages that basically we can pull. One would be, you know, pulling for the ultimate that would be necessary, ultimate cost necessary to improve the streets, whatever that is, 35, 40 million or more, and then something less than that. If you'll look at the attachment that Mr. Pesce did, he took as an example the $35 million and broke it out in $5 million increments issued periodically. And associated with that, you're able to see specifically what the costs would be with that kind of a sequencing. And that ultimately what it says is that if you were to go the full $35 million, the cost per $100,000 of assessed value would ultimately be something like, I think the bottom line cost was, his estimate was $193 per $100,000 of assessed value. So what that will mean is actually property owners will be able to calculate their own impact, essentially.
Any other questions?
If Mr. Nicholson? Okay. So, thank you for the presentation. I did have one quick question on the pavement management system. Basically the 3 months is going to go and do the majority of the streets or get enough information to be able to update the entire system, which, if I then heard correctly, could be utilized in the polling. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. You know, the initial work effort would be basically the field level survey, and we're talking to a level of actually doing some core samples throughout the city, so we can get some representative, samples of the base material under the streets. Doing some deflection testing in certain areas, so we can look at streets and see, you know, how much lifespan we think we can get out of that, possibly with overlays. So, it, you know, very detailed on-the-street analysis, and then inputting that into a very robust program that will allow us to run any number of scenarios and to manipulate the inputs. For example, instead of maybe a thin overlay on a street which wouldn't possibly qualify for general obligation bond, what effect would it have if we modified that program to say that that's going to get a full overlay? You know, and how does that look on the total outcome of cost? How much over cost is that? That kind of thing. I think the programs are out there that can do that. I don't think the current one, MicroPaver, is the program for that, but definitely a lot of detail.
So one more question going towards that that aspect is the streets. A number of them don't have structural foundations associated with either the aggregate base or the sub base that's adequate for the streets. Now, are you saying that we couldn't be able to just do an overlay on those? We would basically have to reconstruct all of those streets that are 50 years old and built on sand dunes. Could we do could the program come back with a alternate construction method?
Yes. So I think that's a good question, you know, and thus, you know, my desire really to get some core sampling and some deflection testing. I think we need to look at options. We, you know, definitely want to stretch our dollar as far as we can. If it's general obligation bond, we have to add, I believe it's about 20 years life to be able to say it's a capital improvement on the street, and 20 years would be great.
Right,
a new street with nice ride conditions for 20.
In the prior report you received, and Mr. Ray alluded to it, that if all of our streets were in good condition right now, it would cost us about $1.6 million per year to maintain them if they were in good condition, which they obviously are not. The other thing that is important to remember is the general obligation program can only pay for capital projects and not maintenance. So another valid question would be, you know, it's going to cost you this amount to rehabilitate the streets, but would you be willing to, in addition to that, support a maintenance program of X amount of money? Because we're going to need to find a way, once the streets are repaired, rehabilitated, obviously we're going to have to find a way to keep them in shape.
Just one more question, and it's kind of more of an umbrella question, is you said November is going to be really tight, if even possible, for this year. Going back to the charter issue that we just had, there was required three
public
hearings.
Right.
Would a general obligation bond require those, that same level
general,
of hearing?
No. General obligation would just require, in essence, a single public hearing.
Okay.
And then placement by the council on the ballot. That's not to say that there may be the need to do public workshops, et cetera, in terms of trying to make sure that the program is being fully communicated to the general public.
Okay. So at this point, we would have that same July deadline?
You would, in terms of putting the item on the ballot itself for November. We'd have to get the process wrapped up.
Okay.
We think we can do it. Given the pavement management system update being completed in 3 months and the polling being completed in an additional month. And then, again, that would put us roughly into late May or early June, at which time we would, you know, agendize the package information for the council to consider. And it would be at that point that you would ultimately make a decision on whether to proceed in November or not.
Okay. And then come November, staff would sleep again.
Yeah.
Hibernate.
<Maybe. laughs> I wish.
Sure. So we have $30,000 budgeted for updating the management system.
Yes.
We'll need another 40 roughly,
yes,
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see where it's probably very beneficial because it's going to give you the actualities of the situation. So I'm tentatively supportive of it, of the idea.
let's say we update this, we have the results, and we realize the costs are substantial. We at least have the data in front of us. Is part of this cost for updating the management system, does that include a new software package, something that you don't have right now?
Yeah, we're looking at our current system is based on the MicroPaver program, which is a U.S. Army Corps program. Not a bad program, but it doesn't have the ability, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the consultant I spoke with, to provide the scenarios that we're looking at. And I think that's really critical here is that, you know, we want to throw a lot of different ideas at it and see what the outcome is. Without being able to do that, I just don't think we can answer the questions that are going to come up. And then, so it's a little bit of money associated with that, and I think the other big cost item is the actual sampling. Sure. Typical pavement management system update, we would just do a statistical windshield analysis, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's really why we only budgeted $30,000 for it. We were going to do a statistical analysis update,
so
which is pretty typical, as you're probably well aware.
No, I'm not. Absolutely. I'm learning a lot here. This is great. So it would include the software.
Yeah.
And the city would own the software, and then the city could move from that point forward and updating? Or is
that's the plan, yeah. And I think I need to clarify that. But my understanding is for this amount, we would own the software. We could use it to in fact, develop our own scenarios and look at other ideas. And could update it ourselves, to be honest with you, just by getting additional statistical analysis every few years. So
okay, so yeah, so that's a good point. So once you have all this base information based on core samples and deflection testing and whatnot, after that, you'd have the software, you'd have the modeling, you'd have the data as of 2014, and then after that, you could do the windshield updates. Is that kind of what you had in mind, or
that my yeah, that's what I had in mind. Definitely, I think it's a great option.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Good. Yes.
Yes, please. I know that we're really not talking about the patch truck, but that was something that interested me the last time, and so I wanted to ask. Someone had mentioned that there's a lot of downtime. The trucks aren't out in use a great deal. So I just kind of wanted to throw something out there when you are talking with the other agencies, maybe a thought of maybe joint ownership, possibly. I don't know.
That's a great idea, definitely.
I did just a cursory glance real quick today, and the price runs the gamut. You probably know that, but, from like $70,000 on up to like $150,000, so they're pretty expensive. But I thought maybe anyway. I thought I'd throw that out there. So, and I also agree that it is extremely important to have accurate information if we're going to go out and we're going to ask the taxpayers to approve something. I think it's really important that we have very accurate information so they do know. What it's going to cost them. I know I certainly would want to know. So I think the more information we can get, the better we'll be. So thank you.
Yeah.
The information we get from pavement engineering, is that going to include the installation of curb gutters and sidewalks where necessary?
No, I don't think we would consider that, but something that we do need to consider is the requirement to the federal requirement to install at least curb ramps, current ADA compliant curb ramps, when you do a complete reconstruction of a street. So, fortunately for access, that's a good thing. Unfortunately for cost, that does add an additional cost to it. So, we definitely factor that in.
Okay, and the same question as to those streets that we believe should be narrowed, will that be included from the information you get from your consultant? Well, and who's going to make the decision as to what streets we believe should or should not be narrowed?
Yeah, that's a pretty big question, and I appreciate that, Councilmember Nichols. You know, one of the reasons why I kind of put that aside in the discussion tonight is that it's a pretty big question to answer. I think it's, you know, I don't think anybody in the room would say it's a bad idea to narrow city streets. When you start saying, well, which city street and how, it gets more complex. You know, we talked at the workshop ideas about, you know, maybe you put a median down the center. Then you have to think about, though, the risk and cost associated with maintaining a median. You know, a landscape median, for example, the new median's down West Grand. There's risk and liability associated with maintaining those. There's cost associated with maintaining new landscaping and irrigation systems. So there's a lot to think about when we start talking about narrowing streets. And then just the discussion of, well, which street gets narrow. The pavement management system itself doesn't, you know, that's not a function of the pavement management system, but certainly any street, we could look at the effect of saying, what if we could reduce all the streets by 5 feet or something, you know, or 4 feet, 2 feet on either side, or what if we just took these streets, which are pretty obvious candidates for narrowing, and narrowed them? What does that do to change the cost? Again, the beauty of an updated pavement management system and a little bit more robust software is that we can run those scenarios with the, once the data's in there, you can simply change some of those scenarios and say, well, what if? And that's what I think we need to ask, because if we find that you know, reducing all the street widths by 10% results in some huge savings, and if you council chooses to move ahead with the polling, you find out from the polling that we're just a little over the cost of what the voters are willing to support, we might come to the conclusion that what we really need to do is pave only the middles of the streets, you know, and see how that works, or something to that effect, or we need to talk about narrowing them sooner than we thought. So definitely great question, but I think it's one we would address when we got to project design and along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, we're probably looking at several years out before this money would hit the street, so we still have to get through a process of design analysis and what is actually the project. And during that process, I think we would be bringing back to council, you know, I think this street needs to be narrowed, and here's how we...
Madam Mayor, if I could, a little bit of a clarification. When Mr. Ray said it would be a number of years before the dollars actually are on the streets, I think, you know, you'd begin to see projects happening within a year after the approval of the bond issue, but it would be an extended period of time before all of the streets were addressed. I think that's probably a more accurate way to...
Thank you for clarifying that.
Just one last question with regards to the pavement management system. So did I understand the output from this program would actually be an inventory of the width and the lengths of the streets, or was that... did I misunderstand that?
That's really the input into the system.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, certainly we can also output that information. Okay. Yeah, we want very accurate width and length. You know, we have that information now. We have width and length. What I don't think we have is really accurate pavement distress information.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Okay, so for the questions, those were all really good questions. Thank you. So I'm going to open it to the public now, and I do have a request from Steve DiVincenzi, who's from San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, and thank you for staying with us for so long. I may prevail on you to give my committee report.
As the mayor said, my name is Steve DiVincenzi, and I'm the planning director at the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, known as SLOCO. And I hear a lot of echoes in this room from over 25 years ago when I served on your staff and my hair was as dark as Mr. Ray's and my waist was probably as thin as Mr. Lee's. But those similar discussions were going on then in various quarters. And imagine had they been able to move forward at that time. You'd be having a whole different discussion today. As opposed to starting this process, you'd be pretty far along. I'm here to give you our SLOCOG staff support for the direction your staff has given you, or the options your staff has given you to put direction on this. It's really critical and important. As Mayor Peterson can tell you, the reports we've given our boards recently regarding transportation funding and maintenance funding in particular are rather dismal from the state and federal sources. Mm-hmm. We've been told we're on our own pretty much by those agencies. So you've got to grab the bull by the horns, as they say, and begin to struggle with this one on your own. And I think this is really the excellent way to go. I think we might recommend that you look at the polling issue and strengthen that. Do some deep polling. Take more samples, because it's critical to have a good program that your public supports. And with that two-thirds voter threshold, you can have to poll over 70% support, because when you go through that electoral process, there tends to be some erosion from those opinions. So you really want to be standing on good ground. So I won't take much more of your time. I think that's the essence of my message. And like I said, it was Grover City when I was here, and the streets were in need of attention then. And almost every city in our county is struggling. You're not alone in this.
Thank you. Don't go away
I
yet. Yeah. Are there questions, Mr. Devincenzi?
No.
Go ahead.
Just had one quick comment. I know Mayor Peterson has been bringing back reports of SLOCOG funding for Oak Park and our transit center and so forth. So just wanted to express our appreciation for that and what SLOCOG does.
Thank you. You know, we've had to constrain our efforts because of the funding issues we talked about. And the routes of regional significance, such as Oak Park, Grand Avenue, you know, you've gotten a lot of support from us on that. You know, we feel where we can, we try to get that funding out to you. And things like the Grand Avenue that's going to strengthen your economic base, you know, will help you as well. So.
And I have to say thank you again also. And I think a great deal of thanks is owed to the rest of the county, because it's SLOCOG is a county agency, and all the other cities are saying, yes, we will help you, Grover Beach. So it's not just the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, but our community countywide has been very supportive. And I'm wondering if you could just touch on a couple of things. I was going to say these, but you'll say them better. We've had a couple of press releases about the annual unmet transit needs public hearings, and then there are some other public hearings on some improvements on Highway 101, and I wondered if you might be able to just give us an update on some of the other roads countywide.
Sure, I can do that for you. Annually, we conduct an unmet transit needs hearing, and that is to take a look at what are the public's needs in the way of transit, and then we reflect those back to our transit operators. If there are needs that are seen to be an unmet need, and there's a high bar to classify as an unmet need, then money comes out of our funding sources, Transportation Development Act funding. But there's a little bit of a catch there, Highway 101 corridor. And we started that study a number of months ago. We've held some public meetings to take input. And one of the first steps in that process was to narrow down the scope, because obviously, you know, funding the streets in your community is one thing, and our responsibility countywide to fund transportation needs across the board. The 101 corridor from top to bottom is a long ways. So our first step was to try to narrow down the focus within that corridor. So there have been four areas designated as the primary focus of the next step. And we'll be holding public meetings later this month, one in the South County in Pismo Beach, one in San Luis Obispo, and one up in Tascadero. And I don't, on the tip of my tongue, recall if the South County meeting is on the Monday or the Tuesday, because that's not in front of me right now. But we're taking comments within each of those four areas. For the South County area, it's primarily from south of Arroyo Grande all the way up through to Avila Beach to look at this strip in here, which is where we have our highest volumes, and what improvements might be needed in that area. And then through the city of San Luis Obispo, through the North County, from Tascadero, and up through the Paso Robles area. That being said, we did an analysis in 1996. It was called a major investment study from 101 from Arroyo Grande through San Luis Obispo. And that was the genesis of the auxiliary lanes. You've seen the retaining walls, the climbing lane coming up from Avila Beach, for those series of projects. And this is a similar effort, but we're looking at mobility in a little broader sense, And so what kind of pedestrian improvements are needed, where they're missing connections that could be done in parallel routes and things like that. So those workshops will be the last week of January to take further testimony before we refine those recommendations.
And thank you for your diligence on all of that. And so if folks want to look up the dates of these, you have a website they could go to. It's slowcog.org, is that
slowcog.org.
Right?
Slowcog.org.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Great. Thank you.
So is there any other questions I can
just ask? One, Steve. Yeah, thanks. So I've been looking at different communities, and it's mainly rural areas in the Midwest, Michigan primarily, Texas, that are reverting their paved roads to gravel. I haven't seen anything like that happen in an urban community. Are you aware of anything along those lines?
I'm not aware of it in urban communities. I know in rural areas, the county has taken that approach in some rural roads in our county where there's less traffic. But I don't know that they've torn any asphalt out.
Right.
I think the residents of Los Osos might swear that you've got that policy going.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Thanks for hanging out with us so long tonight.
You're welcome.
Anybody else from the public want to come forward and comment on any of this? Please do. And give us your name and city of residence for the record.
I'm Marcia Bolyanitz, and I've lived in Grover Beach for almost 23 years. And I agree that this is the main thing we need to do in our town. About 20 years ago, I worked on the successful passing of a bond issue for San Luis Coastal Unified School District. It was a very structured, parents, families, employees, everybody volunteered their time to get this passed. It was successful, however, we did have a major benefit because it was a renewal of a bond issue that had passed maybe 10, 15 years prior, so it did not need a two-thirds vote. It only needed a majority vote, 51%. So from my background in working with a $50 million bond, general obligation educational bond issue, you really, really need to get a community-based committee together as soon as possible, as many people as possible, to knock on doors and encourage their friends and neighbors and every resident and anybody who's qualified to vote for this to vote by mail. Also, anybody who is a non-registered voter needs to register right away. You can register by mail. In addition to that, I think it needs to be stressed very strongly that this is not just a majority vote to get it passed. It needs to have the two-thirds vote, and that is really a challenge, especially with most of the voting public assuming it's just a simple majority, because there's so many people that'll sit back and say, my vote doesn't count. Well,
it does.
Obviously, we know that it counts based on the prior agenda item.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
We'll be calling you.
Yeah.
Maintain. Here's your tax. Pay that to fix somebody else's street. So I think some combination of things could be done to fix inequities that are going to arise out of general obligation bond. And there are solutions. It doesn't have to be either or. There can be some layering of things. There are streets we all use. There are residential streets. There are collector streets. I know it's complicated, and if I'm the city manager's position, I maybe don't like complexity, but I think for the votes that you'll depend on, you may appreciate some complexity. So regard to polling, if you're polling based on general obligation bond, you'll get those answers, but you will not get the answers for support on the other potential solutions. So for my mind, I like keeping all the solutions as possibilities while I'm defining the problem. And once the problem is defined and you've tried to layer these things to be as fair as you can and to get the job done fixing all the streets, because there is no organized opposition against streets, unlike other things on this agenda this evening. So it is I think we can work as a community to fix it, and I think I would like you to keep all of your options open at this time would be my only recommendation. Defining the problem as quickly as you can is a great first step, and keep the options open maybe for a little while longer until you understand the problem completely.
So I have a question of you on that. Does that mean then that you don't think we should direct staff to move forward with a general obligation bond, or do you think that the solution could come within that parameter?
That's one of the solutions. It's one of the obvious solutions. The two-thirds vote is one of the obvious problems with that, though. So I think the assessment districts, community facilities district bonds are also options, too, that you would want to consider how they would attack the problem before you would say, nope, those are not the right answer. And they all have pros and cons. All of the methods have pros and cons. I don't know if you've done enough, you know enough about the problem to choose your solution just yet.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else have any comments? We'll get the mic over to you, Sharon, and you'll be next.
Jack Hardy. I live at 250 Estuary Way here in Grover Beach, and which is a private street, I might add. And I get to drive over the bumpy streets to get to my private street, which my neighbors and I do pay to take care of. I moved here 23 years ago, and I think we all know what the problem is. I think we've gone over the problem many times. I think for those of us who have been here a number of years, we know the problem. Back in 1996, this problem was an $18 million problem. It's not going to get better. It is not going to get better. As a matter of fact, it's going to get exponentially worse. Mm-hmm. I think if we continue with the program we are on, we will have gravel streets at some point in time. In fact, we already have that
on
some of our streets. Mm-hmm. For those of you that know me, I'm in the real estate industry. I work with a company that ranges from Camarillo to the south and Paso Robles to the north. I get an opportunity to go to all these communities, but I live in Grover Beach. I built my house specifically in Grover Beach. I like Grover Beach. I like the potential of Grover Beach. We are hindering ourselves not tackling this problem. I can tell you, last year my wife had the two highest residential sales in Grover Beach last year. One was on North 3rd, one was on North 2nd Street. One was a bit over $1 million, one was right at $980,000. If those houses had set 1 mile that way, they would have been worth at least 20% more. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because we have lousy streets. Okay? And I understand it's going to be difficult. I understand it's going to be difficult to get a two-thirds majority. But the reality is, if we can show our citizens that it is in their interest, it is in the interest of their property values, even if we live on a private street, as I do, it's in my interest, it's in everybody's interest to do this sooner rather than later. If we look back to 1996 when it was an $18 million problem, how would you like to deal with that, City Manager? You'd like to deal with that a lot better than today what we're dealing with. And 23 years from now, what will that number be? It's going to be scary. As I said earlier, we live in a city. It's a wonderful city. I've loved my 23 years here. But the reality is we don't have the revenue streams that a lot of our neighbors have. We don't have that luxury. So we've got to look from within ourselves. And I think back when I moved here, it was Grover City. And there were some pretty courageous people setting up that made a decision to turn us into Grover Beach. And I think and our mayor has already proven to be courageous, and I appreciate what you're doing. I think everybody's got to bind together and be courageous and do the right thing here for the city.
Streets, they think it's going to be patching the potholes, and, you know, they understand about things like Oak Park, but what about, you know, so I think we need to address that. And the other thing is the advisability of putting this on the ballot at the same time we put the charter on. Asking the public to vote for two rather complex things. at the same time might be one or two too many.
Thank you. And then we have someone else. Come on up to the front, and if you can give us your name and your city of residence. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Robin Clark. I live in Grover Beach. I've been here since 1974. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot changing. What concerns me as a resident here is a lot of money has been put on Grand Avenue. I understand it's for the tourists as well as the business owners because we want business and tourists to come here. I'm kind of tired of that. I want to feel like our city is concerned about the residents. And I am thankful that it's finally going to be coming to where you guys are talking about this. It's very important about fixing our streets. Long time past, as people have said in the past, it's been brought up years before. So if we get something going, I'm all for it too. But I, and of course I can only speak for me, I'm tired of hearing we need a bond, we need this, we need this, we need more money, we need money. And I understand money has to come from somewhere. But again, as people have also stated, if we get clarity in what it's going to be spent on, it's like they're talking, okay, make the streets narrower. Okay, so does that mean when we make the streets narrower, the property owner's going to have that part of the property then on their land? Or are they going to have to keep that up because the city decided to make a street narrower? What's going to happen with that street property? That's just one minor thing. I know there's a lot, but I do thank you guys for finally considering our streets, that something's possibly going to happen and go forward. It won't be cheap, but I really hope we're done for now with putting money on Grand and do go forward with us residents that do live here because we pay our taxes every year. And I know it's geared a lot towards the tourists. Maybe we can raise a bed tax or something. I don't know. I'm not savvy in any of this stuff. I can only speak as a resident living here in how I feel. But thank you, and I just appreciate that you guys are going to get our streets better, I hope, and we can come up with something that's not going to break all of us. Thank you.
Thank you for coming forward. Anybody else? Yes.
Will you address that?
We will, and we will address that issue. I just thought maybe we'd wait till the end, but if it gets to be too convoluted. Yeah, don't leave, because we'll respond to your Robin. Comments, Robin. Hang with us. Okay. Don't go away yet.
Hi, my name's Keith Rogers, and I live at 111 Carmelty Lane. Been a resident of Grover Beach and at that address since 1980. Very familiar with the street problems because I travel them every day. A couple of clarifications. One would be on a general obligation bond, everybody's eligible to vote regardless if they own the property or not. So that would include all voters. In terms of what your taxes would go up, roughly $193 per $100,000.
And that's only, and I'd be happy to go over that with you, if I could, Madam Mayor.
Sure, please.
It would only, that's as the bond consultant had laid that out at the last meeting, and the sequencing that he had indicated was that $193 per $100 of assessed value, and that would be at the last issuance, so sometime out.
Yeah, that was my question, so that... That's accumulated over
right.
the yes. time period. Okay. All right.
That's and that's 193 a year.
193 per $100,000 of assessed value.
Per year.
Per year.
Okay. And assessed value is the value that the county places on the property.
That's correct. It is not mm-hmm. the market value.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. For clarification, a little bit of math here. Let's say you have a home and it's... You've been there a couple of years, and it's valued at $400,000. What's that going to do to the tax bill? What's your tax bill going to be?
Well, again, let's.
Would it not be prudent to maybe spend the money on a polling indicator first before we go to the street update? I would assume that's going to have to be done. I would assume that's going to have to be done sooner or later, though. But it just it seems like we're going to have to. We don't have the money in the general fund for the 50 to 70. Is that correct?
What that most likely would mean is we have $30,000 currently budgeted. The difference is $20,000 to $30,000. Likely, some of that would have to come out of reserves.
Thank you.
So we're going to do this at the same time. If we move forward, we're going to do the street update.
Can you direct the questions to me, and then I'll keep a note of them, and we may address them all at the end.
All right.
Thanks.
My question is, are we going to do it simultaneously, the street update and the polling update?
Yeah. And we'll that may be something that we'll consider up here, but we'll come back to you on that.
All right. And are there, and I think Mr. DeVincenzi answered this as far as grants, federal fund grants or any other type of grant, but it sounds like we're on our own. But that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing those forward and for staying so late tonight. Anybody else want to come forward this evening? Please come forward. Yeah, come on forward. And we know who you are, but tell us again in case we forgot.
Slowly, because I think my foot's asleep.
Well, take your time. At least there are no potholes on the way here.
My name is Kay Albertson, and I live, and I'm a resident of Grover Beach, and I live in a relatively small area with no through streets, gets very little traffic. Our streets are in great shape, but I have to leave there. I have to go to the freeway. I have to go to, occasionally, Grand Avenue, which I avoid like the plague most of the time. But, and I have to go pick up a friend. I have to go all the way up 13th Street, as far as it goes. I can't even find my way home in the middle of the night when I take her home because of I can't read where the lanes are. But I'm willing to pay for anything it'll take to get this fixed. And I think the most sensible solution I've heard is the traffic, is the street survey. Mm-hmm. I think it should have been done. I've only been here 17 years, and I think it should have been done here 17 years before that. Great idea, and makes sense. And as far as the polling goes, you can't poll somebody if you don't know the condition of what you're going to fix. So that's my idea. But anyway, maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm willing to pay for it. And I'm willing to work for it.
Great. We've got your name, too.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Well, we've got three volunteers now. Would anyone else like to come forward? Yeah, please, Mr. DeVincenzi.
I had a chance to check the computer I have that happens to make phone calls and take pictures. And I was able to check the calendar, and the meeting in Pismo Beach will be from 6:30 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. on January the 29th. So
6:30 to 8:30, January 29th in Pismo Beach. Do you know where in Pismo?
I believe it's in the City Council chambers.
It is. That's right. I remember
it's in
that.
The City Council chambers.
Yes, it
and
is.
And on Thursday night, the 30th, we'll be in Atascadero from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And on Monday night, we will be at the city of San Luis Obispo at the, I believe we're in the library community room.
Okay.
So check our website.
Great. Slocog.org. SLOCOG.org. Thank you very much. Anybody else want to come forward? Okay, thank you. I'm going to close public comment and see if we can respond to some of those questions. The question about Grand Avenue is a great question, and I don't know if we want to ask staff to answer that one or if I'll have a go at it and you can jump in or other folks can jump in.
The question, as I understand it, is why have we spent so much on Grand Avenue? And realistically, the reason so much has been spent on Grand Avenue is it's been largely grant-funded. Those grants were competitive dollars, and there were certain parameters that you had to meet in order to be able to be successful. And Grand Avenue meets that in that it is a major arterial and the other improvements that you've seen constructed there were traffic calming improvements in order to slow the traffic down, and that was also a requirement of the grant funding. And thus far, we
that's why, and it's a you know, we hear that a lot, and we understand the frustration. We would love to get grants for the residential streets, and they're just not available. So we took the money where we could get it so that we didn't have to spend more to do Grand Avenue. We took what we could get, and we've done that with a lot of things. We've really leveraged the funds we've got. So when we had to put sewers into Farrell, we kind of sneaked and fixed the road, too. Same with South 4th. So we've leveraged as much as we can, but unfortunately, that the money's not coming from any source for
Madam Mayor,
residential
if I might
streets.
Add mm-hmm. to that, we have also taken, when money was available, that a few years ago, the statewide Proposition 1B was approved, and that did provide for some local funds. Again, we had to meet some certain parameters in terms of how those dollars were used. It's one of the reasons that we got North 12th done. Which was in bad shape, if you'll recall. We've also done North 4th Street with a combination of redevelopment agency funds and grant funds. North and South 4th were done with that kind of a source. And we've also done, where we could, residential streets, including Atlantic City, which we were able to do mostly with local dollars. So, you know, we have been at it a little bit at a time, but it just hasn't been enough, and that's been our basic problem.
Thank you. Now, there was another question, the question regarding should we do the survey before we do, as Mr. LaFerrier said, define the problem. And I think that's something that we can discuss up here. And there was another question. Does anybody remember?
Keith Rogers about doing the polling first before we do the...
Yeah, that's the one I just said, but I thought there was another one, too. But I'm not seeing it here, so if nobody else is...
I thought you said John LaFerrier's question about...
No, I was responding. John said... No, that's not what I said. John said, define the problem.
Right.
And the question was, do we define the problem first or do we do the survey first? So...
Okay.
All right. I think that's responded to most of those questions now, and if we think of some others, we'll respond. So we have. It's been suggested that what we do is authorize some funds for polling, authorize some funds for the defining the problem, and direct council to move forward with a general obligation bond, and we've had a lot of input from the public, and so let's hear what you all think about all that now.
I would actually support moving forward with an update on the pavement management system, mm-hmm. with staff bringing back a budget adjustment or some other funding source with regards to that, and then with the understanding that the polling would occur after the pavement management system kind of spit out the various options that we'd be looking at. And as Mr. LaFerrier said, and to kind of keep our options open with regards to whether it's a general obligation bond or an assessment district, I think I've heard tonight the staff would prefer a general obligation bond for various reasons, but I don't think we're ready to physically move in that direction yet until we hear if it's $4 million, which it's not going to be, or $100 million, so which I'm hoping it's closer to the 35 or 40 that we've initially anticipated, but we won't know that until the pavement management system update comes back.
Thank you. Any other feedback on all of that?
I agree with Mr. Councilmember Lee entirely.
Okay. Any other comments?
I agree. At first, I thought the same thing. I thought we should poll first, see, you know, if there's any reason to expend these dollars, but now I understand that we really do need the information first. I think it's really important, so I support Mr. Lee's suggestion.
Mr. Nichols?
The only question I have is if we were to give direction to city manager to move forward with the general obligation bond, Can we, do we have to move forward on that now, or is that something that we actually can keep in the back of our mind and as we move forward with further information relating or getting from the payment management system, et cetera, we can adjust that later?
Well, you're not locked into a decision until you absolutely place the item and the matter before the on the ballot. So this is staff's recommendation that doesn't necessarily preclude at least the continual review of other options to ensure that we have the best option to put before the council and ultimately the voters.
Questions like that, as we do our outreach, at least we have a reasonable answer to give to people as to why we're going in the direction of a general obligation bond instead of Mellow Roofs or districts and so forth. So if we had some figures, that would help us tremendously.
City Attorney, did you have a comment?
Just a question, Mayor, Council Members, and this goes back to the mechanics of putting the measure on the ballot, should that be the decision of the council. I would, since it appears that you're at least at this point in time trying to sequence the payment management system and its results with the subsequent polling, I would like to know from the city engineer, is that sufficient amount of time? In other words, will we have results in enough time for you to be able to evaluate those, then direct staff to start the polling and have a meaningful ability to evaluate that polling before you make a decision for going forward on the November ballot, should you decide that that's the direction you wish to take. So perhaps an estimate from Mr. Ray as to if all the stars align, when will we have the results of the payment management system?
A good question. So my preliminary discussions with a local consulting firm that specializes in this brought up the idea that we would probably have as many as 10, 12 scenarios that we would want to consider. And so the three-month estimate from award of contract includes running all these scenarios so that we can answer those kinds of questions. And in looking at the information that Mr. City Manager Peral and earlier in our workshop Mr. Pesci brought forward, 3 months, then into polling, kind of working on the preliminary polling questions and development at about the same time, maybe during the third month, and moving forward, it looks like the timing would work out, but it wouldn't be there wouldn't be a lot of slack time.
And
I'm
if
sorry,
I may,
does that answer your question?
Mayor, the point where I think the council needs to have clarity on, and maybe I just missed it, but so is it recommended that the polling is initiated before we have the final results of the pavement management system?
As I understand,
or at least the work on the polling as far as getting questions together and all that.
As I understand it, that is a recommendation that came out of the workshop. Okay. So, Peral, you could correct me on that if I'm wrong. But
So we wouldn't be able to sequence it and still have it timely.
Well, I think what we would do is at the same time, first of all, at the same time that we're moving ahead with the pavement management program, we would retain the polling consultant. Mm-hmm. I would think you would need to do that. And then in order to have the polling consultant in place and his questions develop based on the outcome of the pavement management program, so that as soon as that process was completed, you could move forward with the polling, so that some of that work would have to be overlapping in order to make it work. But the actual physical polling would, in fact, follow the completion of the pavement management program, if that makes sense.
So do them more or less concurrently. And I'd like to also ask that we take advantage of SLOCOG's offer to help us with the polling, because they've done a lot of it. And we don't need to make that necessarily in a motion, but I'm hoping you all will take advantage of their expertise on that.
Madam Mayor, if I may, a question that came up earlier from one of the council members with regard to considering some of the other funding mm-hmm. options. Something that's come to my mind, a question you're going to need to ask, talking about the cost of perhaps putting together, say, a Melrose district or an assessment district. I think a question a preliminary question that might be very important to understand in trying to decide if you can layer the different funding sources would be how much of the street system, the cost of the street system, would be considered a general benefit. It's a key question considering mm-hmm. that, because when you're looking at a general obligation bond, it can cover the entire system. When you're talking about Melrose or an assessment district, remember that the city would have to cover the general benefit. It would be, I think, useful to have an idea what that number might be. And so it sounds like if in fact that ends up being council direction to keep our options open, it sounds like we should be having some preliminary discussions perhaps with a firm that has expertise in setting up Melrose or assessment districts, and perhaps ask for hopefully a low-cost preliminary assessment.
That security becomes the issue.
And then we have financing cost if we did something like that. We have financing cost for two or three different funding mechanisms.
Well, that's true, too.
That may not be cost-effective. Okay. Any other comments from anyone? All righty. So given all that we've heard tonight, it sounds like we have consensus to do the street assessment, the definition of the problem. You said it much better than that. And the polling. We have consensus to move forward on that. I'm not sure that we have consensus on the funding mechanism and whether we feel we need, whether we want to go with the recommendation of the general obligation bond, or we want to still keep the options open on some of the others.
Why are we doing the polling concurrently? Is that just to try and meet a deadline?
It isn't concurrently. What you're going to need to do is you're going to have to work in the polling consultant to a certain degree. We'll have to work in step with the pavement management system information as it's produced. So that, let's say, the pavement management system is beginning to produce its information in April. The polling consultant can begin to frame the questions so that you're not waiting for one to be completely finished with the work before the other one has mm-hmm. to begin. And but that's all I'm saying.
And is that to meet a November deadline?
Yes.
Do we have a November deadline?
It is only, ultimately, you're probably going to need all of this information to come together before you can make that determination.
Oh, sure.
And one of the things that ultimately will guide that decision will actually be the polling results. I mean, you may find out, the polling results may tell you, yeah, November's the best election to go. Then your best bet is maybe to go November of 2014, or you have to put it off to November of 2016. On the other hand, it may tell you that June is the best time to go. You're too late to make June of this particular year, and you'd have to then think about that in terms of June of 2016.
Okay.
So you're not bound to it, but using it as a target date will continue to keep the process moving until you're at a point where you can actually make those kind of decisions.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
So then I'll throw out a motion here, see if we can. Do we need a motion, or is it consensus?
It's consensus, but I believe, wasn't it?
Motion is always helpful, because then it's very clear on the record as to exactly what mm-hmm. that direction is.
Then I would
before
move.
Before we make a motion, one further comment. With the explanation that Mr. Ray gave us and city manager on the assessment district and the cost to the city for the general benefits, I think we've kind of wiped that out, if I'm not mistaken. In my opinion, we have. If somebody has a different opinion, I'd like to hear it.
No, I think, I'm curious to hear Councilmember Lee's motion to see if it's going to address any of the funding, if he's just going to stick with the polling.
Let's hear your motion, and then we can discuss the motion.
I think my motion was to authorize staff to issue an RFP to update the pavement management system, issue an RFP for polling consultant, and come back to us for issuance of those contracts at that point. So that was where I was going to start with. But if someone wants to add discussion about general obligation bonds or administrative bonds, I'd be interested to. I'd be willing to listen.
I'm willing just to table that, the funding mechanism, until a little bit further on at this point. Assessment, I agree with you at this point, Bill. Mm-hmm. I don't think assessment's going to work.
Well, if it's not going to work, wouldn't we be better off to let staff have the advantage of the additional time to work on the general obligation bond? Would it? And I don't know if staff would say that, yes, it would be to our benefit, or I would like to hear from them first.
Clearly, and I'll ask the city attorney to amplify, but the sooner that you make a determination, there's a lot of work that ultimately will need to be done. You have to put a financing team together, and so that all can take place, and actually the financing team can help with running the scenarios as well, because by the time you get to your polling again, you're going to want to have a pretty good idea of exactly what that mechanism is and what that cost is going to be, because that's what you've got to put out to the general public in terms of getting answers. City Attorney, any?
No.
That's
exactly the same comment on it. And the more time staff and the team has, assuming the decision has,
staff knows the direction, the more time we have to continue to educate the public in whatever fashion is legally permissible to what the issues are and to what we're doing.
I would encourage Mr. Lee to amend his motion.
And I was going to say I would be happy to amend my motion at this point to include staff direction to proceed with costs and impacts of a general obligation bond. So, and I'll stop my motion there, and then I've got a comment.
I've got some discussion on that too. And I don't know if staff or anybody can say, but obviously the problem with one of I can't remember what it was that we were looking at that wasn't a general obligation bond, but the problem with that is that the unquantified thing is how much obligation the city would have there to cover some of those costs. Do you guys have any idea of a ballpark figure? You think it could be 20%, 50%, 10%? No idea.
And that is only one of the issues, and it's a big one, mm-hmm. of an assessment
whether
district. Whether it's a Melrose or some other kind of benefit assessment. The other issue right now that is rolling around in the case law out there is the fact that engineering reports for benefit assessment districts are being attacked left and right by people who want to oppose them, and courts have been pretty open to try to force these engineering reports to be very specific and very narrowed down and address the special benefits, not include the general benefits into the money that is being charged. So there are other issues that are attached to attempting to do which in this case would be an incredibly complicated array of things. And yes, there are solvable. You could do certain assessments in areas where the streets are private, and certain other assessments in the areas where streets are new and tribal. But numerous engineering reports would be required. You would end up with having, you know, explain to people, and it's flip side of the equation that Mr. LaFerriere was saying. Then now you have to explain to me why I'm paying $600 when the guy next door to me or across the street is paying $40, or vice versa. So there are issues in construction of the process that are very complicated. It is doable. I'm not, you know, but it's something that is has its pros and cons, just like anything else.
My take on the concern that Mr. LaFerriere had about the assessment district is that
Yes, there are neighborhoods that don't need their streets done right now, but we're going to be rolling this out for 10 or 20 years. And in 10 years or 20 years, they're going to need their streets done. So we have to prioritize who we do first anyway. And it seems to me that you got to pay now, you're going to get it later, and it's going to keep cycling around. So it just, and we've also had feedback from the public saying, just fix the streets. Yeah, well, so I'm inclined to say I support your initial comment that we just go forward with the general obligation bond, and we've considered this. This is the second meeting we've considered it. I think it's time to just move forward with that. We can change our minds next meeting if we need to, if something new comes up.
And first we need a second.
Yeah, first you know, that's correct.
So that's what you've moved anyway.
Yeah, I would move. Okay. Yeah.
And so I will second that.
Okay, so we have
a little bit more comment on the same topic before we take a vote on the motion. So Ms. Brown brought up an interesting concept of saying you're putting a lot in your November ballot if you go with this and you go with the, help me out here, question.
Charter,
thank you. And I know you have to. My stance here is you have to do the PMS because you need the data before you can do anything else. And once you get the data, you may find that you're in at $80 million, and this might be a moot point right off the bat. So I'm kind of, my position is, let's move ahead with the PMS. I don't think we have to authorize funding in any manner on this. I don't know. Maybe they can do that without that. And let's wait and see what happens. Let's not rush the consultant. Let's not rush staff. Let's just get the data. I'm not all that concerned about moving ahead with the polling at this point, and I'm not all that concerned about moving ahead with the funding at this point. But anyway, that's my thoughts. I just want to get those on the table.
And I'm in favor with, you know, there's one thing that everybody says. They don't all say we want a charter, but everybody says fix the streets,
that's
fix
true.
The streets, fix the streets.
Okay.
And I think that's what we need to do. So I say let's fix the streets.
Let's do it. Let's go forward, I say.
All right, so we have a motion from Council Member Lee, and we have a second from Council Member... second from Council Member Nichols, and I'm calling the question.
My only question before that is, does our city clerk know...
Okay. All righty. So we don't really need a roll call, but let's do a roll call, since we may not all agree. Let's do a roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
To call us back to order, if everyone can take their seats, please.
Donna did. All right. I'll just do it, shall I? I'm calling our meeting back to order. It's 9:55. We are moving on to agenda item 11, which is appointment of alternate representative to the APC Air Pollution Control District, and City Manager Peralta is going to present that.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the Council. Just by way of background, annually the Council reviews all committee assignments. Those committee assignments are considered to be open until such time as the council reaches consensus on the assignments, and then the council adopts a overall resolution. That's a process that essentially took place in December. Just recently, Mayor Peterson has indicated to the city that she was resigning her position as the city's alternate to the Air Pollution Control District, effective immediately. Therefore, we're bringing the selection of an alternate back to the council for further consideration. What the council should do is conduct a discussion amongst yourself, reach a consensus as to who that alternate should be, and then adopt the attached resolution, which essentially modifies the action that you took in December, and would substitute the alternate's name for the purposes of moving forward. The alternatives, the council is to take no action and carry this item over for a discussion of a future meeting. you can take no action, period. I would want to indicate that there is no absolute requirement that you appoint an alternate. In fact, the laws that's been changed says you may appoint an alternate, and the council actually took that approach back in 2011 when the law was changed and appointed the alternate. So essentially this item has been is being brought to you based on the resignation and to proceed with the filling of the alternate representative position.
Thank you. And we can ask questions of city manager, but I wanted to say that I wanted to thank you all for appointing me to the alternate position. And once I had a chance to consider it, I realized that because it's such a complex and controversial position, that it might be a good idea to give someone else the opportunity to take the time and do the research and attend the meetings and figure it all out, and rather than hang on to that one. So that was my reasoning there. And so are there any questions of the staff?
I'll nominate Jeff Lee for that position.
Oh, I'll second.
We have a nomination from Councilmember Nichols and a second from Councilmember Marshall. And this is a roll call vote. Thanks.
Yes.
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 Congratulations.
Yes, that was easy. Okay, number 12, appointment of Mayor Pro Tem for 2014. City Attorney, please, could you talk to us about that one?
Certainly. Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. As you are aware, the appointment of a Mayor Pro Tem is a function that the Mayor performs and every year, and generally the resolution provides that that is done in December. Due to staff's oversight, that item was not presented to you for your action or for the mayor's action during the December meeting. We're here before you today for the mayor to move forward and appoint a mayor pro tem. With that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Any questions? Okay, now, I did not open the last item to the public, and so I want to make sure we open this one. There's one member of the public here. Did you wish to comment? Okay, we'll bring it back to the council then. Any questions?
No.
I guess this is my choice, isn't it? So I wanted to say thank you to Mayor Pro Tem Bright. You did a great job. You worked hard last year, and I appreciated your support. And since we're doing a one-year thing, I asked Councilmember Lee if he would serve, and he agreed. So that's what we've got. So I think we're done with that item. And thank you for stepping up. The next item would be any pulled consent agenda items. And we've got number 5 and also
in my office if you'd like to see them.
Okay. All right. So do you have any idea what that?
It varies depending on which program, because we have the firefighters, which
right, yeah.
We no longer have firefighters, but we do have a financial liability for the previous firefighters that we've had. We have the police,
right,
and we have the miscellaneous group.
Okay. So, but you don't know approximately?
There are two different ways to actuarially look at what is considered unfunded. On the low end, it's probably about $4 million. High end, it's probably $10 million.
Yikes.
But that's just going off the top of my head, so it's going to be somewhere
in the
tweener? In that ballpark for the total.
Do you think maybe you could just email that to me then?
I can do that.
Okay, that would be great. Okay, I was saying, my goodness, that's just exceptional. Okay, thank you. And there were no exceptions noted?
None.
No. Okay, that is exceptional. So then in the MD&A, there was a 5.9 decrease due to a one-time funds in 13.
Grant.
And that was in the general fund?
Which page are you on?
It was in your MD&A. I guess I could have... Bless you. It's right in the beginning somewhere. I just couldn't remember what that one-time fund was. I was hoping that you could just remind me of what those one-time funds were.
There was a decrease from from the previous year. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, uh-huh. There's a decrease in the general fund here. I'll find it. Okay, you know what? I can email you that as well. It's getting too late to have to fuss with this.
I can only say that the only decrease that I'm aware of is any grant-related funding that we received during the course of the year.
Okay.
If you actually remember our actual revenues were... We had significant one-time revenues received last year that actually are not anticipated again next year. Which number is that?
Page 18, and it's the first bullet.
That is partially due to the one-time revenues we had in fiscal year 13.
Yeah, that is looking at FY 14. That's making a projection for FY 14.
Yes, so there would be right. So there were there was going to be a 5.9 decrease because there was a one-time revenue received in 13.
Right.
Correct.
But you don't remember what that one time?
Yes, I certainly do. There are actually two different contributions. One was a redistribution of redevelopment agency funds that resulted as a result of the elimination. And the second was a one-time receipt of funds the county, if you remember, there was a court decision that affected the distribution of county property tax administrative fees.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so between the two of them, it amounted to the $400,000+ that were unanticipated.
Thank you.
Just a quick question on that. Was the community garden sale in last year or the year before?
I'm thinking it was last year.
I think so.
Yeah, so would that be part of that?
That would also be one-time funding.
Okay.
It was either July or it was the previous June.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
It was right there on the border.
Okay.
Thank you. So those were my questions.
In that case, I'll entertain a motion.
I have one question.
Okay. Except for, I guess we're going to make a motion.
I have to do eight later.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. How many years have we used Moss Levy to do the audit?
Gayla can answer that question for
you. It's either 6 or 7 years. We were going to change a couple years ago, but when the redevelopment was dissolved, we felt like it was best to keep the same auditors in place through that process. I'm currently in the process of writing an RFP for our audit services.
Thank you very much.
Good question.
Outstanding. I have one I can send you if you'd like.
I'm just about
okay.
Did we have a motion?
Oh, I'll make a motion. No, I'm not.
Looks there. Like it's just a receive and file.
Oh, is it? Okay. Do we need to have a motion for receive and file? Okay.
Yep.
So it does say voice vote. So all in favor of receiving and filing?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? No opposed. So that was unanimous. And I'm going to leave now because on the next item, number 8, I have...
I just thought it was kind of interesting that. So, what do you think?
I think it's a good question. I'd be guessing a little bit, but I have a little bit of insight. I actually spoke with the consultant who was here earlier tonight, and asked if anything in particular about the RFP or the process we went through or the contract itself might have scared off other potential design consulting firms. It was interesting. I hadn't thought of the idea that he had, and that was that, if you recall, Rick Engineering did the preliminary design on this project, and there's a cost associated with putting together a proposal, and it's not an insignificant cost. So a consulting firm, in considering whether to put that money out to prepare the proposal and to compete for the project, is looking at Rick Engineering having already done the preliminary design and thinking, we're really behind on the competition already. Is it worth it? And I hadn't thought of that. I had thought that perhaps the language in the federal contract is pretty tough, but that didn't seem to cause at least Rick Engineering a lot of concern. I did note, though, however, that one of the firms that was a potential candidate for this specifically indicated that they were more interested in the construction side of it, and they'd like to be involved in the construction inspection. And the federal procurement requirements now state specifically that if you're involved in the design, you cannot be involved in the construction side of it.
Oh, really? Huh. Interesting. Okay.
So that's the information I have. Any
okay.
other questions?
That makes sense. One more. Is there a completion date for this?
Wow. It's a good question. And yes, there is. Off the top of my head, I don't have it, but I believe we're looking at about a 3-month design process.
Okay. And one last question. Does the city generally have like liquidated damages in these types of projects?
Yes, we do. Always.
Always. Oh, good. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions to my right? To my left?
None.
Okay. I just have one question. I noticed we have some supplemental information on the dais. Do we need any introduction for that, since that seems to be for this item? It looks like it was the contract.
It is just the contract.
Okay.
Ready for signatures and final signatures from the consultant and staff here were completed today. So.
Okay. And I guess one last question I have there is our city attorney, Kazanowicz. I don't see your name on here yet, so I'm assuming you've reviewed this and are okay with form and effect?
It is a format contract that was provided to the city engineer. So the answer is yes. I'm sorry. I'm hesitating on the other issue on the liquidated damages. Where was that in the...
So is that liquidated damages for the design portion or for the construction portion?
Only for the construction portion,
right.
Not on the design.
I just wanted to clarify that that's not part of this contract.
That's what I understood the question to be during the construction.
Yeah.
Were you asking about the design side? Because
no,
we do not on the design side.
All right. No, I wouldn't think so.
Okay. So I'm not sure if we need to open this to the public, but I'll let Ms. Brown speak if she so desires. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Then I'll bring it back to the council, and what's your pleasure?
I'll make a motion if I need to.
Yes.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution authorizing the city to enter into a consultant agreement, services agreement with Rick Engineering, the Engineering Design Services. Do I have to do this in two separate ones, two separate motions, or can we do it all? And authorize the city manager to execute the agreement on behalf of the city.
One motion is fine on that.
Thank you.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bright and a second by Councilmember Marshall. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bright?
Yes.
Councilmember Marshall?
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that motion carries. Thank you very much. Would someone please invite Mayor Peterson to come back and join us? And let it be noted that I did not touch the gavel.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not with his fingers, anyway.
Don't sneeze on my gavel.
All right. So now we are back to, we finished the consent agenda, we finished regular business, we are on to council committee reports. Councilmember Bright, did you have anything to report?
Well, I'll be very brief through the late hour. I had a Zone 3 meeting, and...
TOT edition for hotel rooms. From our perspective, we don't have a whole lot of hotel rooms, so we would be, quote-unquote, coattails with regards to that. But as the Lodge and our other hotel on El Camino comes in, it could start to impact those the TOT rates. So.
Okay, so we're currently at 10%, so that would take it up to 11.5.
That's the number that they're looking at right now. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and there are other cities that have TBIDs or business improvement districts that have already added various percentages on top of that. So, like Pismo Beach could go I think they're at 13 now. They could go to 14.5 type of thing. So, it's going to be a hard sell. Mm-hmm. So, especially for those communities that have a bid already, that have a district that. That does the marketing end of things as well. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Thank you. And Councilmember Bright, you're going to cover for me at the EVC, and I guess they're going to cover the same thing there, so it'll be interesting to hear your take on it. I've seen it, can't remember where, so that'll be three of us, so we'll have, it will be interesting. Councilmember Marshall.
Sure. I had three meetings, two with SLO CSD, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, and one with Services Oversight Committee. So on December 18th with San Luis Obispo, South San Luis Obispo County CSD, Rick Sweet was approved as the new general manager, replacing Paul Karp. Ms. Tacker applauded your service on the board.
Good.
Then we moved to keep the meetings in Arroyo Grande for the next 6 months. There was a review of the plant by Regional Water Quality Control Board, and they received some positive feedback,
yay,
nothing negative. There was a presentation by County Public Works Department on their flood mitigation plans, and that included a discussion on retrofitting the flap gates and sandbar management plan. And I'm sure Mr. Lee could fill you in if you had more interest in all that, but that's the primary parts. On January 15th, last week, we had a second meeting with South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, and it was a fairly short meeting. A couple things that happened is the district secretary, Matthew Haber, left to finish his CPA license, and he's been replaced by Amy Simpson, who is now our new...
You mean he's quit?
He quit.
Darn, my favorite person.
He's a very nice guy to work with.
Oh, I like...
Yeah.
I wish I'd known that.
Gosh. Yeah, but that's good, though. He's going on to get his CPA license.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. young and... He can move forward. And then we reported back from a closed session that staff received a 3% pay raise. January 15th, the Housing, HSOC, Housing
Services
Oversight Commission. Sheesh, that's a hard one.
So
that was primarily an administrative meeting. The first part was to select new leadership. So the new chair is Debbie Arnold. The new vice chair is Scott Smith. And actually, Debbie Arnold is a continuing chair, I should say. Vice chair is Scott Smith. The housing chair is Lee Collins. Vice housing chair is John Ashbaugh. And supportive services chair will be Pat Beck. And Pat Beck, you may recognize.
Mm. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes, from her stint here at the city. Jim Patterson was nominated as a member. And he's a former
supervisor
from Area 4, I believe. 4 or 5, I think it is. 5. And there is also an administrative meeting to amend the bylaws and policies in order to apply for upcoming funding opportunities. So it's just a lot of little things, nothing that important, with the exception of one of the action items had to relate to Grover Beach. It was the ranking criteria. They had to approve the ranking criteria for local applications in the 2013 Emergency Solutions Grant funding. And this is to assist Grover and Pismo to provide rapid housing, rehousing, and homelessness prevention, which the city had previously opted out of. And I'm sure Bob could fill you in if you had more questions about this, because it was completely over my head. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there is a discussion on restructuring the four subcommittees. And as if you may recall, the four subcommittees are the Housing Committee, the Data Finance Committee, Supportive Services Committee, and the Youth Activity. Mm-hmm. And there'll be more discussion on that as time goes. And upcoming events, there's going to be another stand down at the Vets Hall on May 16th through the 18th. And I think Councilmember Nichols went last year. And there's also a Cal Vet grant funding available through the USDVA, which I assume is the Veterans Administration, Supportive Services for Veteran Family Program. And the next meeting will be in March, and date to be determined.
Great reports, thank you, from everybody so far.
When is the stand down?
It was May 16th through the 18th, 2014. And it'll be at the Vets Hall in San Luis Obispo.
Councilmember Nichols?
Through Grover Beach and Oceano. In fact, there was some duplication that they eliminated. They expect that with this modification of the route, it will save approximately $9,000 a year in operational efficiencies, and it will reduce the operating cost approximately $20,000 annually. And we did have a review of the upcoming budget that will be presented to the board at the April meeting. That's pretty much it for the South County Transit. The Five Cities Fire Authority did have a meeting. The Colby fire that I'm sure you're all aware of, we did send an engine and a crew to that fire. Fire Captain Pearson went down there with an engineer, firefighter, and a reserve firefighter. They were released and returned here on January the 19th. We are in the process of recruiting for new reserve firefighters. We will be interviewing and recruiting somewhere between 5 and 10 new reserve firefighters. And the reason for that, if you're interested, is that we do continue to lose firefighters. We have a firefighter that has left our service to join the Santa Maria Fire Department. And the basic reason for that is they have higher pay, and it is a larger fire department that obviously offers more potential. We have another firefighter that left the service to go to Aurora, Colorado, where he is joining the fire department back there. Again, two reasons. He likes Colorado, and secondly, it is a higher-paying job for the same position. We have another firefighter who is leaving shortly to take over his father's farming operations. His father's going to retire, and he's going to leave the fire service and take over his father's business. And that's all I have at this time. We do have some information to share with you relating to the dispatch service. I know Chief Copps has been heavily involved in that, along with the city manager, and I would defer to them for a report on that because they're much more intimately involved in it as it stands right now than I am. And Bob is going to give us a report on that.
Okay.
In his own report. That's all I have.
Thank you. And I don't have anything to report. We did the SLOCOG report earlier, and so we're on to council communications. And I'll just roll into that one. I am going to be in Sacramento Thursday and Friday for League of Cities policy committee meetings. I was going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but I'm thinking I'll just wait till the next meeting. I'll have already been there and I'll have more to report, so we won't do that tonight. I did want to check in with you all and see if there would be any interest in agendizing a presentation from the Five Cities Homeless Coalition so that we as a council could consider, maybe find out where they're going, what they're doing, what they're thinking about, and whether or not as a council we feel we can get behind that. I didn't know if you all would be interested in agendizing that.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Always.
I think the mayors have been talking about it for some time now, and I think we've probably gone as far as we can with it. Actually, we've been talking more about People's Kitchen, but they're related. So we've got one yes. We need consensus or not.
And sorry, my brain's a little addled. What was the topic?
Five Cities Homeless Services, a presentation from them as to what they're doing, where they're going, and then perhaps some conversation amongst ourselves as to whether we feel we can support that.
Gotcha, yes.
Okay. I'm going to call that. That's three, so sure. when it works. I know we're busy.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I think what would be good to hear is more or less and understand what their game plan is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we've heard it talked about a lot separate from this meeting, but it would be good to hear them make a presentation as to what their plans are, what they think the delivery system should be, and where they are with the process. I don't think they've ever made that kind of a presentation to this body anyway.
No.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. Okay. And then any other council communications?
Just one other thing for consideration is I saw Zuri Brown is putting the kibosh on water use, and there's some Northern California city, I think Willits?
Yeah.
Yeah, is significantly hurt. Yeah. I know we had a presentation by staff 6 months ago, said we're doing okay, and we kind of follow the the regulations, or not the regulations,
of recommendation whether or not to proceed with phase three.
So that late even?
Yeah, well, realistically, that's not, I don't think it's going to be necessarily too late.
Okay.
What we're going to need to do, obviously, there's still a chance.
Still a chance. Rainy season isn't over yet.
A couple of months that we may get some rain and it may modify it. And that will give us the time we need to review an implementation of the phase three and to develop some recommendations for the council. So
I just want our town to be as proactive as possible.
The other point I will make is that, which is another shoe that I'm sort of expecting to drop, even though we may implement a mandatory reduction. And right now our program calls for a 10% reduction. You could see the state come back and mandate something greater than that.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, we'll have to rethink it all again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So nothing's going to happen just yet. But it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah. City manager's reports and comments.
Yes, actually I have two things to present to you tonight. The first is the item that was in the agenda, and that's a request to schedule a workshop to review the current workload. You know, interestingly enough, we just today we talked about the charter and the streets, which obviously are two significant pieces of work. That all, having said that, actually there are some 70 items that staff is tracking at different points, and these are tasks that need to be accomplished, you know, within a given span of time. Some of those items are directly taken from the council's work program, and you'll know what those are. Others are timed tasks that we have to complete. For instance, our housing element has to be updated by June of this year, just to give you an example. And that's a task that's definitely on that list. So what I am asking, and I think I talked about it earlier, I'd like to schedule a workshop at which time staff would review these tasks for you with you. One of the reasons, it's not that we're looking for any direction at this point, it's just to more or less review with you that workload, what that workload is, preceding to getting into a discussion on the goals and objectives for the coming year, so you'll be able to keep that all in mind. The suggestion is that we do that sometime in February. Obviously, as you can see in the staff report, there are a number of constraints within February, but I think it's important to get it completed, especially if you're thinking of having a workshop in early March relative to the charter. My suggestion would actually be, based on these constraints, that we look at a date during the last week of February to schedule this workshop.
So I know Councilmember Bright usually prefers Mondays, and that is easy because we're usually committed then anyway. So we'd be looking at either the 17th or the 24th of February if we were going for a Monday.
Actually, I would suggest the 24th.
Because the 17th is a public holiday.
Right.
Yeah.
All Saturdays and Sundays are clear.
Thanks.
Not for me.
I thought I'd mention that.
So the 24th?
24th work for everybody?
If it works,
yeah, it's
for
fine.
The council.
You do have something here, though.
Yes, there's an oversight council
that's
that
at
the
four.
Mayor will have to attend, mm-hmm. but that's a half hour,
and that's
45
here
minute.
In town?
Yes.
At 4 o'clock,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So we're good.
Yeah, that's fine for me then.
What time?
Are you going to say that then?
6:30?
Would be regular time.
So just a question for you as we're scheduling that, does one of your 70, or maybe it ends up being more than one, include, let me ask that completely differently, have we received the contract yet from CDBG?
Yes, we
okay,
have.
Okay, we have. Okay,
and
so.
Actually we've signed off on the contract itself.
Okay.
There's still some implementation we're in the process of doing. In fact, and by way of reporting on that, we've actually
are about to release the RFP for administrative services. We actually need to bring someone in to take care of the administrative reporting associated with it. And we've actually gotten clearance from HCD in Sacramento to work on the housing element, the identifying of a consultant. So we are beginning to make some progress with that.
Okay. And has the economic development aspect of it come in yet?
Yeah, on an interim basis. As a result, sheriff's departments indicated that they're not capable of dispatching fire dispatch. So we've had discussions. This just came up within the last week, and we've essentially had discussions about assuming that responsibility on an interim basis. That would mean that we would dispatch for, we're currently dispatching for Oceano and Rover Beach, and we would then pick up Arroyo Grande as well. I've talked to the city manager in Arroyo Grande about developing a contract, an interim agreement that would run initially 90 to 120 days, and that would give us an opportunity to work on long-term options. We'd essentially be charging on a per-call basis, roughly in line with what we're currently charging Oceano. So it'd essentially be keeping everything the same. Chief, do you have anything that you'd like to add to that? My point is, in if you have any concerns, it'd probably be best to hear about it now. Otherwise, I'll have an interim agreement in front of you on February 3rd.
Thank you. Any concerns, anybody?
I would only like to comment that I think this is an ideal opportunity to dispatch for Arroyo Grande, and hopefully that might work into a permanent situation where we could combine that. And as you know, other council members might not have been here, but we did have an opportunity, or did make a stab at consolidating police services, mm-hmm. which fell flat on its face really bad. But anyway, I think this is a step forward, and I did talk with both Bob and the chief on hopefully we can take advantage of this and may be able to show and establish how well it would work dispatching out of one facility. It would be a benefit to all of the communities mm-hmm. and to Grover Beach and to the Five Cities Fire Service.
Yeah.
You have the staffing to do it, I assume. Obviously.
Well, yeah, that's a part of the call. The pay per call will allow us to pick up overtime as we need to.
Okay.
So, city attorney's reports and comments.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members, the only thing to report is that I will be in Sacramento on Friday at the Legal Advocacy Committee. So if there's anything specifically that you want me to carry to that committee, let me know before Friday.
I'll work on it. And so moving now to closed session, we'll meet in closed session considering a couple of items. Did you want to introduce those, City Attorney?
Certainly. Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council members, members of the public, it's the intention of the Council to meet in closed session on two items, first one being existing litigation, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach. The second one, potential litigation, one case.
I will. Okay, so we are going to adjourn. It's to closed session. It's 10:37, and we will be back with a report out when we're finished.